B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 2 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. It's the afternoon show on The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Devon Givens with you until 6 o'clock. Tyler Zuli in as well. And it is Thursday, so that means for us, family game day. We'll have some fun talking some Birds, some Phillies, and get into so many other things. A little NBA thing that Tyler said he wanted to sneak in a little bit later. We'll take your phone calls. We'll have an opportunity during family game day to give away our 5 pairs of FanFest tickets, good for October 1st. And we look forward to having that conversation with you this afternoon. And we begin with the Birds, even though they only had a walkthrough, according to Tim McManus. And we'll check in with T-Mac at 4 o'clock for his daily training camp update on the Philadelphia Eagles. We had enough to talk about from yesterday with Tim letting us know a few things. And also just looking and just giving a quick outlook of the division and the Philadelphia Eagles and their chances in general. And where I wanted to start today and where Tyler and I are going to get into is with you, the Philadelphia Eagles in the division. I had a chance as I was doing some research and looking at some other things as I was on one of the betting sites, the one that I deal with, DraftKings. And DraftKings had the Dallas Cowboys as a favorite still in the NFC East. Now, many of us still believe that the Cowboys are going to be a good football team. However, we do believe, I do, Tyler does. He'll speak for himself. And I know just speaking to so many of you so far throughout this entire offseason as we are now approaching training camp in the beginning of the 22 campaign, that we feel that the Eagles, if not have caught them in general, have surpassed the Dallas Cowboys as the top team in the NFC East. May not be by a big margin, may not be a big blowout. It could be an even number. It could be 11 wins, 10 wins, 12, 11, whatever. Could be right there. But we do believe the Philadelphia Eagles have done enough, Howie Roseman, in the offseason to put this team together to compete for the NFC East crown and potentially win it over the Dallas Cowboys. Now, last season, the Cowboys won the division at a 12-5 record. The Eagles snuck in as a playoff team, a wild card team, at 9-8. They did their job. They got in, especially as we talked a lot about it yesterday. We didn't expect that to happen for the Eagles so soon. They even said it. They were a rebuilding team. They made the postseason. They got their doors blown off in game number one, but they learned. And now, going out and addressing all the needs that they did in the offseason from wide receiver, linebacker, cornerback, and so many other positions, this team, we feel, is primed for an opportunity to now take that jump. No longer, you cannot, first of all, you cannot take a step back and not make the postseason. You have to make the playoffs, and it would be ideal for them to win the division. That's how good they are, in my opinion. Again, I've said, I don't know if it's 10. I don't know if it's 11. I don't know if it's 12 for this 17-game schedule that they do have upcoming. But I do believe that they are better than the Dallas Cowboys by a slight margin at this stage of the season as we get ready for training camp. Now, we've talked a bunch about the Eagles' additions and the minimal subtractions that they've had this season already, this offseason, going into the 22 season. But we haven't talked much about what Dallas hasn't done, like keep Amari Cooper and figuring out some of the other things that they need to do. Michael Gallup coming back as the number two receiver and him being the number two receiver coming off of a big ACL injury kind of late in the season where they're leaning on him to be that guy. Cedric Wilson no longer with the Dallas Cowboys, now with the Miami Dolphins. That Schultz is a good tight end. Dalton Schultz, but is he, you know, someone that we look at and say, all right, he's better than Dallas Goedert? So as we begin the show today on this Thursday and we talk with you about the Philadelphia Eagles, a day off, just a walkthrough for your football team on this Thursday. Simple question to start things off with you this afternoon. As we pay so much attention to the NFL and the NFC East with both what Washington, New York, and most certainly the Dallas Cowboys are doing, seeing what you think your football team can do, whether you focus because of the fantasy aspect of it, whatever it is you do, you have a good pulse of who the players are, and what the teams are. So as we start things off with you this afternoon, a simple question to begin. Are the Philadelphia Eagles now better than the Dallas Cowboys? That simple. That's where we want to begin this afternoon. Are your Philadelphia Eagles better than the Dallas Cowboys? Again, 12-5, the Cowboys won the division last season. Fairly easily as well. They had a really good lead for quite some time last season. They did their job. The Eagles, they had to turn it around in the second half and in a hurry after being down so big to start off the season losing their games. Dallas was 6-0 in the division, where the Eagles were 3-3. They struggled. They had to, again, fix things and get it right. The Cowboys were 10-2 in the NFC, where the Eagles were 7-5. At home, the Eagles had a losing record of 3-5, but 6-3 away. They performed better away from Lincoln Financial Field than they did back at home. This season, with the addition of James Bradberry, Hassan Reddick, Jordan Davis via the draft, the improvement with the linebacker position from Kaiser White and N'Kobe Dean, maybe another year of TJ Edwards where you feel better about him. The depth that they have along the defensive front and the safety position, as we talked with Tim McManus yesterday, and again, we'll speak to him at 4 o'clock this afternoon. They still have some answers that need to be addressed at that point. But overall, they have improved this football team, and so much so where we had a caller, Kevin from Delaware, calling yesterday, talking about the Birds and speaking about Jalen Hurts. We'll get to that a little bit later. But so many national people, maybe you don't care. Maybe that's not an issue for you. But I know that there are a lot of folks who don't want the national media talking about the Eagles. You kind of want to just fly under the radar and win the division and go about your business. But that is not the case. That is not how it goes. They have to find a sleeper team. And right now, the Philadelphia Eagles are a sleeper team. The other list that they have put out there, having the best off seasons, maybe about 10 teams, however deep they go as far as having the best seasons, the Eagles have generally been at the top of the list of having one of the better off seasons in the NFL for this off season to get ready for the upcoming campaign. I agree that they've had a really good off season. Not much to complain about. You can get into the safety position, maybe Kyle Hamilton at 14 instead of Jordan Davis. And that's why you still have the gap that you do right now with the four safeties trying to figure it out before things get started in September. But as of right now, in totality, they look like they are a much better team. But the question is, are they a better team than the Dallas Cowboys now to win the division? And that's where we will begin with you. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you here on the afternoon show, 97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia, we're with you until 6 o'clock. The Leftovers with Tyler Zuli in the 5 o'clock hour. As mentioned, 4 o'clock, Tim McManus from ESPN.com and 97.5 The Fanatic. He will join us to talk about the Birds on their day off. We'll have some questions for him, throw him his way, and see what he has for us. But we begin again with the Eagles. Are they simply, after this offseason that they've had, the offseason that the Dallas Cowboys had, and we'll get into their depth chart, where they are right now, look at who they have. Again, Amari Cooper is a big loss. Michael Gallup is still technically out because of recovery from the ACL. So what team are they? Who are they going to be? Now, I will say this. CeeDee Lamb, big fan. I wanted CeeDee Lamb just like everyone else. Trade up. He's there at number 17. You have to jump over the Dallas Cowboys to get him. Jump over the Cowboys. Go get him. That's how good CeeDee Lamb is. So losing Amari Cooper, all right, it's a big deal. Maybe not as big of a deal because you might look at Cooper and say he's more of a dynamic receiver. He's going to be more impactful than Amari Cooper in the long run. But they had a pretty good trio with Cooper, Lamb, and Gallup. Now you're looking at Lamb, Washington, Gallup, and some rookies with Jalen Tolbert, who Tyler does like as a wide receiver coming out of college, a rookie there, but a talented player in general. So we look at that and you say they still have stuff. Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, good 1-2 punch out of the backfield. And as we mentioned, Dalton Schultz, the offensive line is what the offensive line is. Dak Prescott is better than Jalen Hurts as of right now at this stage of their careers. And you know defensively, they have the best defensive player between the two squads right now when we are talking about possible Defensive Player of the Year candidate. Once again, Micah Parsons in year number two. So they have stuff. But are you there where you're ready to say, like I am, that I believe the Philadelphia Eagles have now surpassed the Dallas Cowboys this offseason with what they've done? They are the better team in the NFC East. They have to hit the field, prove that to be true, and go out there and do their job. And as we know, a lot of that will rely on the shoulders of Jalen Hurts and the job that he does. Improvement in year number two, following his first full season as a starter, to see if he can have a big impact on this football team. And again, we'll address what a little bit at length what Kevin from Delaware had to say to us yesterday about the coverage that Jalen Hurts is getting nationally and a little bit locally as well. So that's where we're going to begin. We will talk about the Phillies, a big series, four games against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and an opportunity, again, to make up for the mess that they created with the Chicago Cubs series where they were swept, losing that one, coming back, great fashion, winning the Atlanta Braves series, but now they have four against a Pittsburgh Pirates team that they are better than and should take this series with either three, and if not sweeping them, the three games and winning the series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So our phone numbers, 610-632-0975. We'll have family game day when you call in, talking about the Birds and the Phillies, whatever else is on your mind. We will give you a question for family game day and an opportunity to qualify you to join us October 1st at Xfinity Live for the annual Fan Fest. And then we will continue to have some other things from the NBA side conversations that we always like to have a little fun during the show. 610-632-0975. Are the Philadelphia Eagles now better than the Dallas Cowboys? We'll have that for you when we come back. The afternoon show, Devon Givens, 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tom, and with that, we wait for the horns and get the horns going. And once those horns are going, that means Tyler Zuli is going to give us the Twitter poll for this Thursday. Good afternoon.
What's going on, man?
How you doing?
We're here.
Good.
We're here once again.
Once again.
Hey, we're back on TV for 4 hours today, too.
Are we?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
What's up, TV people?
Yeah, what's going on? So, our poll today is fill in the blank. Heading into the 2022 season, the Eagles are blank than the Cowboys. 61% of the early votes say they are slightly better. 22% say they're definitively better. 13% say they are slightly worse. 4% say they are definitively worse.
All right, so as always, I ask you to start it off. Where do you have them?
I think they're slightly better. I think that I agree with a majority of this, the early returns so far, because I think that when you take a look at position by position, they win a lot of the battles. I think they win more than they lose, which would make them better. But the problem is, I think they lose the biggest battle, which is, of course, the quarterback position. And that, I think, has weight. Like, it's like a weighted grade, right? And that's the heaviest of the weighted grades is the quarterback position. And Dak Prescott's a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts.
Yes, he is.
So I think that while I would take the Eagles as a whole, and I would take the Eagles in a lot of individual matchups, you know, number one corner against number one corner, number one wide receiver against number one wide receiver, number one tight end against number one tight end, I think they win a lot of the battles. They lose the biggest one, which I think weights them negatively. So I think the Eagles are slightly better than the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, I agree with you. I think they are slightly better. One of the others that we didn't address, and we will get to the phone calls, everybody, 610-632-0975, is the head coaching part of this thing. Because if anybody has listened to me over the years, dating back to his Green Bay days, I have never been, from afar, not that I had to root for them, but just watching and observing and seeing other head coaches around the NFL, I have never been a big fan of Mike McCarthy. I have never thought that he was as good as the record would indicate while he would be with the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of that team at that time, the other talented players that they had. Yes, he has to do a job as the head coach, but we know that someone is not good at their job, even though they are the head person of said team. And for Mike McCarthy, I never looked at him as a guy that I thought deserved the credit that he would get as an NFL head coach. When he was hired by the Dallas Cowboys, I was thrilled because, again, I don't think he's good. And that doesn't mean that Nick Sirianni has this huge advantage, because they're probably even. And if you have to give a slight edge, it is McCarthy because of the experience and the fact that he does have a Super Bowl under his belt. But that was years ago. Now he's still doing the same Mike McCarthy things, and it fits perfectly with what I want to see with the Dallas Cowboys because I don't think he's good. So that is also going to be, at least in the head-to-head battles when we watch them go against each other twice this season, who has the edge in those games that they face off. I'm not a Mike McCarthy guy. I'm not saying I'm the biggest Nick Sirianni supporter either, but I am saying that as of right now, we know that the coaching is going to play a part in it at some point. They're going to help you win games. They're going to help you lose games. May not be a big number, maybe two or three throughout the campaign, but they're going to do something to help them win or lose. And McCarthy, I do hope it's more losing than winning, and I give the slight edge to the Philadelphia Eagles at this time. Not in the coaching ranks, because I think they're fairly even though Nick Sirianni is going into number two, but slight edge, probably go to McCarthy just because of the experience, the time in the league, and that's it, because I don't think he's a good head coach at all. I just don't. So I'm not going to forget about that part. I'm going to keep that one in there as well. Ty, before we get to the phones, what do you think as far as the coaching goes, since we didn't address that part?
Yeah, I think with the coaching specifically, I think that I'll take it even a step further. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think Nick Sirianni's great. I'm not going to tell you I think he's elite.
He's not. We
I'm
haven't
not
seen
gonna
enough
tell
to
you
say
I think
so.
That he's even, I don't even know if I'm ready to say he's good. But I will say this. I think that for the most part, with his ability or what it perceived ability to adapt and change playbooks and game schemes and things like that, at worst, I think right now he's a net neutral. Whereas McCarthy, for a very, very long time, not just in his years with the Cowboys, but I think even in the back end of the Green Bay tenure, McCarthy was a net negative to his teams. I think Mike McCarthy costs his team games more frequently than he helps win them.
Yes, he does.
Nick Sirianni, I don't think Nick Sirianni does either of those things yet, right? So he's not awful where he's not, you know, that play call stunk. That's why they lost the game. But
he did
I don't
a few times last season, but he was a rookie coach. It happened.
I don't think he was the reason at any point that they lost. I think that there were times that the game plan wasn't good, but the execution on the field was also like abysmal.
So it went hand in hand.
Like, I think the game plan against the Raiders was terrible.
Okay.
But the play on the field was also miserable in that game. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's great by any means, but I don't think he's going to cost you any games just yet. I think McCarthy does.
All right. You got it, man. 610-632-0975. And also, when I was doing the research and looking at the numbers, while they had the Cowboys as the number one team in the NFC East to win the division, they also had the Eagles still sitting at 9.5 games, which I still don't find that possible. I think they are. I for sure believe, and I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I do believe that they are a double-digit win team this season. They had 9, and they weren't that good last season. They had 9 a year ago, and this seems to be an easier schedule for them to eclipse that 9, get to the double-digit number, and hopefully continue to add from 10, 11, 12, and there on. And then I was looking at, as I hit on Twitter briefly here, Stan Lou 29. I think that's Stan in Drexel Hill, and he's sharing a conversation he had with one of his friends who's a Cowboy fan, and he says they're really delusional, as you know what. So this is it, man, and this is going to be a good one because, you know, they're going back and forth. And, you know, his friend is saying they literally laugh at the backfield of the Eagles. The running backs are trash. And Stan says Zeke is washed and Pollard doesn't scare anybody. Now, I disagree there because I do think that they are a pretty good dynamic duo that they have in that backfield. And Miles Sanders is a good back, needs to do much better. Boston Scott is Boston Scott, but I think Kenneth Gainwell is the one that we have to pay attention to get more touches than Boston Scott. And they're going back and forth and talking about all the things that they're talking about as Eagle and Cowboy fan friends or even arch enemies in general do. And that's why we wanted to start off today. Not because of this. This just happened to pop up on my Twitter feed. That's where we start. Are the Eagles better than the Cowboys as we begin training camp for the 2022 season? 610-632-0975. And you know we're going to talk about the Mega Millions at some point because we just can't. We just can't ignore it. 1 billion.
See, we got a problem, though.
Did you get the tickets for us yet?
Not yet. Right, we'll get them tomorrow.
Come on, man.
We got a little bit of a problem. It's really not a problem. We're not going to lose out any money. We're talking about all this Mega Millions. We're talking about the billions with a B.
Billion.
That we're talking about.
Billion.
You know, every time we have somebody on, we tell them, oh, yeah, we'll get you something.
Well, we didn't tell Tim yet. We only told Jason.
Well, you know we got to get something for Tim.
Well, we have
if he's
to tell Tim
on
today,
yeah,
yes, that we'll get him something.
So I'm saying we got Tim, We got Jason.
Yes.
Me and you. We got all of our associate producers for the week.
Sure.
We're starting to split it big time ways.
We got Haley today.
Still making a lot of money.
Still making a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Not complaining. Not complaining. All right, 610-632-0975. Family game day. Tyler will introduce the game as we go along with the phone calls, and we will give away our 5 pair of FanFest tickets October 1st, Saturday, 1 to 5, at Xfinity Live. We'll tell you all about it as we go along. Let's start things off in Philly with Rob Mead next on 97.5, the Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Rob Mead, what's going on?
What's going on, Devon? You're doing a great show, as always.
Good, man. Thank you.
You're doing a real good job in this time slot.
Appreciate it.
I think we are slightly better than Dallas. We had more additions than subtractions this offseason. They've had more subtractions than additions. I don't think that Gallup will be completely healthy because he had his ACL injury late last year, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so he's not going to be a significant player to replace Amari Cooper. They also start the season playing Tampa Bay, and then they play Cincinnati, and they play 6 playoff teams from last year. The Eagles only play 4. Mm-hmm. So I think with that, and I think Jalen Hurts' progression along with the weapons they got on offense, we're going to finish with a better record than they are. And like I said before, I'm more worried about Washington. I don't think their defense is going to be as bad as it was last year. And for whatever reason, I just feel like Wentz is going to have a better year this year.
You think Wentz is going to be a better quarterback this year with Ron Rivera?
Yeah. He wasn't really that bad last year. I don't know why.
He wasn't that bad. He just kept doing the dumb Carson Wentz things that he does, where he would make those silly passes and then throw with his left hand when he's going down, flipping the ball over his shoulder, those types of things. He would make those types of mistakes.
Right, yeah. I think that he might be able to cut out on that some this year. And he actually has a solid number one receiver this year with Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, but he has to get the ball to him. That's the thing. Look, I was a Carson Wentz guy, and I've also seen the bad parts of Carson Wentz, too. But, look, the defense, I thought their defense in Washington was going to be much better last year, where we all looked at it. And then, for whatever reason, they weren't. And then Chase Young goes down, he rips up his ACL. He's down for the count. So let's see if they do have a bounce-back year. The talent is still there, not just from Young. They have so many guys along that defensive front. They are loaded. Now, will it all come together and will Carson Wentz do his part? We will see. But I do think that the Dallas Cowboys are the one that they still have to worry about in the East.
Okay, and I think that Ezekiel Elliott takes another step back this year, and I'm hoping that Miles Sanders takes a step forward. If he doesn't, I really think Kenneth Gainwell can probably replace him as our running back one anyway.
Hey, man, he's going to get a lot of touches, Ramid.
Yes,
A lot of touches. Ty, you want to start Ramid off with the family game day?
Yeah,
you want to get it started now?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man, let's get it started. Let's see what we have.
All right, so since we're not going to have an opportunity to talk about it before the next
baseball,
the next game day before the trade deadline, we're going to do MLB Phillies trade deadline moves throughout the year.
Oh, man.
All right. So I'm going to give you the trade. I'll either give you who they sent or who they received. You got to tell me the opposite, right? So, Ramey, we'll start with this one. On December 16th, 2009, the Phillies sent Tyson Gillies, Philippe Almont, and J.C. Ramirez, received those players from the Seattle Mariners in exchange for...
What did you say, 2009?
2009. They received Tyson Gillies, Philippe Almont, and J.C. Ramirez in exchange for...
Gotta have this one.
I have no idea.
Devon.
Is this the Cliff Lee deal?
It is.
That is the Cliff Lee deal.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man. Come on, man. That's why I said gotta get that one. 2009 with the pitching staff. Cliff Lee. Shouldn't have lost him in the first place, but then they brought him back, and that's what they gave up. Man, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for starting this off. Really appreciate it, and we'll qualify you another time for those Fan Fest tickets. We always go back to that one because we look at it and we say, Ruben Amaro, you didn't have to make that deal. You go and get Roy Halladay. All right, fantastic. We're looking at that saying, oh, they have Halladay and Lee. And then we're like, no, you don't have both of them. We're sending the other one to Seattle. Excuse me? All right, I understand you feel like you got better because one was better than the other. But we want the greedy thing. We want all of them. And they went back and came back and brought him back because we wanted all of them. And then you go get Roy Oswalt.
That was a time to be greedy, right? If you were going to talk about money, we were talking about monetary situations. You had just come off a World Series.
Goodness gracious.
A year prior. You had just went to the World Series that season, lost to the Yankees. That was a time to get greedy.
And he was great in the World Series.
He was great.
Cliff Lee.
Yeah.
Come on,
he was the best pitcher in the series.
Man, you remember that game in
New York? Phillies only won two games. He won both of them.
And Pedro was good until Charlie left him in too
Pedro
long.
Was good until he ran into...
it was in the eighth inning, too.
Until he ran into Matsui.
Yeah. Matsui and Chase Utley were having a home run derby against each other in the World Series. Oh, man, that was one. I still say you had to have that.
That one doesn't bother me.
No. It bothers me because they lost it, and you're like, oh, they can beat the Yankees.
Sure.
That wasn't the one where we look at it and say, all right, you had to win that one. It was just, no, over the next few seasons, get that other one. And we talked about it yesterday with the 2011 team.
Yeah, 2011 was Cliff's 100. The one you had to have. Yeah. I mean, that was you lose to the Cardinals in the first round of the playoffs. That's one you have to have.
And the first game, Roy Halladay, and it was it Carpenter?
No, it was game five.
No, the game one where it was 1-0 because he gave up the
run. That was game five.
That was game five?
Yeah. All right. Rafael Furcal leadoff triple. Yep.
Game five. And we lost 1-0?
Lost 1-0.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. 610-632-0975. You mentioned the Washington football team. Carson Wentz, going to be better. He might be. Might have a better head coach in Ron Rivera, I don't know, but he connected with Frank Reich and it didn't work. He had a good year. We talked about that. Had a good year, bounced back, but he continued to make those silly mistakes. And then when they needed him most, he didn't do his job at the end, as they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars and were eliminated from playoff contention. I still don't think that they are the team to worry about. Ramid and others, I'm sure there are others there with him that believe that Washington is the team to worry about, but I still believe it's the Dallas Cowboys that you have to worry about and not the Washington football team. Defense, yes. Offense, they have pieces from Gibson, McLaurin, he was already mentioned, Ramid mentioned him. Samuel, we'll see what he does, maybe. But I still think it's the Dallas Cowboys. Are the Eagles better than the Dallas Cowboys? Spider's in South Philly next on 97.5 and NBC Sports Philadelphia. What's up, Spider?
I'm good, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good, man. Good.
I'm good. And are we better than the Cowboys? No, I think we about the same, man. I don't think neither one of the teams better than each other, to be honest.
So are they the same where we're talking about they both finish, let's say, 11-6?
Something like that, 10-7, 11-6, one of those.
Okay. Dallas is not slightly, they're not that much better than the Eagles. It's a slight margin.
No.
Slight margin.
Uh-oh.
All right.
To be perfectly honest, I only give them an edge at quarterback.
Yes.
They have a substantial edge and a very, very, very small edge on the running back tip. Other than that, my man, they're not better than us in any other category. Our wide receiving core, if I went to be 100.
As a core group.
As a core, better, I believe. Our tight end is better than theirs.
Yes.
We have a good, I would like to believe that we have a good defensive back core. The linebacking core, I believe they might have a better linebacking core than us. D-line, I don't think their D-line is better than ours. So, no, I don't think they're marginally better. We're about the same. But their quarterback is what, you know, and getting to that point, I want to believe in us, man. I just can't believe what Hurts has as a QB, man. I just can't. And that's the part that's hurting me right now, because I want to believe with everything that we have on our team, we can make a Super Bowl run. But that guy, man, I just can't.
The quarterback position.
Yeah, man, it's killing me. And listen, I've spoken to three wide receivers and a tight end. I ain't going to mention their names or nothing. But over the last 2-3 months, I work at a place where a lot of people come into.
Okay.
People and everything like that. I've spoken to a few of them. Everybody, our team is great. Everybody loving our team. And when I ask them about Jalen, they all,
Can he do it? Can he do enough, Spider, to, again, he doesn't have to be the superstar quarterback. He may not have to be Dak Prescott. Can he do enough to be one that doesn't hurt the football team? And that's it.
Possibly, but when it comes to playoff time, I don't believe he's going to be able to do enough to even win us one playoff game. I just don't see it, because I know the playoffs are a different animal than the regular season.
And you know why that's crazy? Because we've seen so many other examples where players have had success not being star quarterbacks. Plenty of them. going into the postseason and doing their job. And that's where we look at him and we don't know. Now, I'm going into it with a positive outlook with him right now because he has the weapons. It's on him. And it's funny because we're going to talk about Kevin from Delaware yesterday. He called us late in the show, Spider, who said there is no pressure on Jalen Hurts, and he's tired of the national people talk about it like there is, and we disagree with him, and we'll talk about it.
I gotta disagree.
Yeah, we do. We disagree that they go out there and they do that. Can he just do enough to not hurt the team is the question.
Through the regular season, yeah, but I'm trying to play all time. I just don't see it, man.
Okay.
And I hate to feel like that, man. I want to believe in us.
Well, that's why we play the games. That's why we will find out. They believe in him. Let's see how much. All right, Spider, family game day, baseball version on this Thursday. Tyler,
all right, Spider,
what do we have?
Let's go to 2011.
I'm up 1-0, by the way.
July 29th, 2011, the Phillies sent John Singleton, Jarrett Cozart, Josh Zied, and Domingo Santana in exchange for what one player?
In 2011. They sent them to where?
Sent them to Houston.
To Houston for a player from Houston.
For one player from Houston.
Then we get Roy Osmond. No, he didn't come from them. Matt, was it Roy?
Right team, wrong player.
It was Hunter Pence.
It was, in fact, Hunter Pence.
Hunter Pence. Oh, a Spider.
I didn't even know that's where we got him from.
2-0.
Hey, man. I knew I was going to mess up anyway.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate man. It. I thought that would work out too, the Hunter Pence deal when it happened. It was like, this is pretty good. They're going at, like Jason Stark told us yesterday, they're going for it. They were going for it. Hunter Pence was having a good season. They're going for it. And unfortunately, it didn't work out in the end, as we know, but he goes to San Francisco. It wasn't San Francisco?
Yes.
They trade him to San Francisco, and he goes out there and wins.
Yeah, great trade for Houston there. One of those guys makes big league contributions, and it's a very minimal amount for them. Way more for the Marlins.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 610-632-0975. As far as he went linebackers, yes. Michael Parsons and Leighton Vander Esch, you can just stop right there when you talk about the linebacker position and how much better they are than the Philadelphia Eagles. Secondary, Trayvon Diggs is a tremendous corner. He's a guy that can turn the ball over. Of course, he can make those mistakes, take advantage of those mistakes and intercept the football. He had a great year last season, and we'll see how he comes back. But you can have success against him with your wide receivers, as long as they don't drop the ball. You can have success against him. And so I'm not afraid of their secondary either as we look at their team. DeMarcus Lawrence, yes. Gallimore is good. You have Watkins as another defensive tackle, and Dante Fowler comes over to the Dallas Cowboys, another talented player. But I do like the depth that's there for the Philadelphia Eagles as well. I still believe they are better, and you heard Spider, slightly better the Cowboys are than the Philadelphia Eagles by a slight, slight margin. So, again, where are you all with this question of are the Eagles now better than the Dallas Cowboys as we begin this 22 season? 610-632-0975. Hanging out with you until 6 o'clock on the afternoon show. I'm Devon Givens. Get to the Phillies because they have a big series against the Pittsburgh Pirates beginning tonight. 4-game set. Zach Wheeler, he starts it off tonight for the Phillies. Can they take this series? They need to continue to do so, as we know, having the opportunity to get that third and final wild card spot. They have to win these series. They are now in the 60s as far as the games played. And as we sit here today, before the games get underway, the St. Louis Cardinals did win yesterday as well, just like the Phillies. So they have a half game up. Phillies have to do their job against this Pirates team that are 40-58. They are better than the Pirates. We do know that. Dennis, you'll be first when we get back, and everybody else, 610-632-0975. Twitter, we'll hit you up as well as we go along until 6, the afternoon show. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia. Oh, Tyler. Welcome back, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia. The afternoon show. Ty, get to Dennis in a second. So, Rhonda's walking around.
What'd I do?
Listen to this. Love Ronnie. Ronnie's walking around.
Okay.
and she has a popsicle.
Okay.
I said, Ronnie, where you get the popsicle from? And I had my phone turned over. When we were doing the show, television purposes, of course, I just put the phone to the side, turn it over, I ignore it. But Matt Menard did text us, text me. I don't know if he texted you. Mr. Softy was downstairs.
Your guy.
Two trucks.
Come on.
Two trucks. Downstairs in the parking lot.
It's still there?
Nah, it's gone now.
I was gonna say, we'll run and get you some during the break.
Man. Ah. Sold us out. We miss Mr. Softy.
Can we call up, what was the water ice?
Maroney's?
Yeah, can we call them up?
They retired, man. They retired.
Call them up. Be like, yo, listen, we need a drop off.
Oh,
Mr. Softy left us.
Oh, man. Oh, that's tough. Mr. Softy. Two trucks downstairs.
See,
Matt did text us.
Two
trucks.
Multiple trucks.
Yeah, and everybody was downstairs getting stuff, and we were up here working. Come on, man.
Poor us.
Poor us. No Mr. Softy. All right. 610-632-0975. Cardinals quarterback, newly wealthy, if you will, Kyler Murray. With his new deal, he made a surprise appearance today and spoke to the media about his contract, and he called it disrespectful and almost a joke. Those are quotes that the media has criticized him for having the language in the contract, because if it's in there, that means he wasn't studying enough and he feels like it's disrespectful.
See,
well, wait a second.
That's the problem.
Dude, it's in your contract.
Right.
Your representation looked at the contract, spoke to the Cardinals about the contract, and you signed it. And you signed it. And by the way, the truck is still outside.
We got to go.
Ronnie said the truck is still outside.
97.5 NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Dude, you signed a contract.
Right.
They did this. I'm guessing they did this for a reason. Is he delusional here?
Well, that's the thing. Like, you signed the contract. As you said, your people looked it over, your lawyers, your agent, whatever, looked it over, saw the wording in the contract, agreed to it, and I assume they agreed to it in principle because of the fact that that's where you get your money from. Like, that was a contingency on signing the contract. There has to be some kind of merit to it, right? The team is not just going to sit here and say, you know, we don't think you're watching enough tape, and you go, no, I really am, and they go, oh, you know what? Okay. You're right. You know what I mean? So there has to be some kind of merit behind this in order to justify the clause in the contract. Like, they would not put it, let's take us for example, right? If we get a contract, they're not going to sit here and say, Devon, your contract is contingent on watching more Sixers games. And you go, well, I watch all the Sixers games. I'm good. And they go, you know what? All right. Cool. For them to say that in your contract, there has to be some merit. There has to be some knowledge that you're not watching enough Sixers games, right?
Yep.
Which is not true, obviously, but we use it as an example. If that's the case, they have knowledge and understanding that you're not doing this one thing
something.
To put it into your contract.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So that's crazy. Crazy. I understand how it got out and you may be embarrassed by it.
Sure. That's
but it's
different.
There. That it's there, though. 610-632-0975. Haley's going to go and get some ice cream. She's going to get me a vanilla in the cup with rainbow sprinkles.
Yeah, as long as you don't get the wood stick.
No, I get a spoon.
Okay.
It's all good.
Yeah, you got to get the plastic
spoon. Yeah, got to get the spoon. All right, let's go back to the phone. 610-632-0975. Dennis in Philly next on 97.5 and NBC Sports Philadelphia. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. I heard the conversation of the Eagles and the Cowboys, so I figured I'd definitely have to chime in on this one.
No question about it.
Oh, yeah. So I definitely think that the Eagles will probably end up winning at least one of those games. I think with the additions of this offseason, whether through the draft, the signing of Hassan Reddick, I just think this puts us a little bit over the top. You know, in my experience in the past, Dallas has always had a good team on paper, but when it comes down to, you know, the grunt work in between the lines, they always fell short. You
right.
know, Dak Prescott, he's a very impressive quarterback. He makes great decisions. However, they can't seem to fire on all cylinders at the same time to actually be a great ball club that will, you know, be really contenders in the playoffs. I think, you know, Sirianni will have our birds ready to fly. And I think this season is something to prove for Fletcher Cox and that we will be on top of the division, honestly.
Now, why you say something to prove for Fletcher Cox? In what way? You feel like he had a down year a season ago or the way that he's been discussed?
I just feel like he wasn't last year. He wasn't as, you know, productive as I've seen in the past. You know, the confidence wasn't there. It just didn't seem like he had as much enthusiasm when he was on the field. The big plays that, you know, we've seen before, we just haven't seen last year. So I definitely think, you know, he's going to come back in a big way this year after that, you know, restructured contract and, you know, really show up for the team. I think we're solid this year.
Okay, listen, and I agree with you, Dennis. Thanks for the call, man. Listen, hang on. We want to give you an opportunity to qualify for the FanFest tickets and play Family Game Day with you. So, Tyler, what does Dennis have here? What's
the question? So we're going to go back to the year 2002, July 29th, 2002. The Phillies sent Scott Rolen to the St. Louis Cardinals in exchange for three players. Give me any one of those three players.
Well, Scott Reynolds to the Cardinals.
Scott Rolen.
All right, I'm a football basketball guy, so I'm gonna try here. Let's go with Alec Baum.
He's on the team.
Did I even get that name right? Because I saw
Alec
him in the game last night.
Alec Bohm. Yeah. Placido Polanco.
Yes.
Polanco. Man, I saw that name before. Yeah,
All right. But, well, listen, we have plenty of time to talk Birds and Sixers as well. Dan, thanks for the call. Really appreciate
it,
man.
First time calling. I definitely will be calling again.
I appreciate that. Thank you, man. Thank you again. First of all, you know I was Scott Rolen guy. Still behind him.
Yep.
While everybody else in the city went after him. Whatever you want to say. I disagreed. I just thought that they offered him the contract. And look, bad teams offer players, their franchise players, contracts, and you take them or you don't. And he was one. We see it all the time now, especially.
Damian Lillard.
Yeah. Damian Lillard. We see it with the young players where Zion Williamson, is he going to be the one that bucks the trend and decides not to take the qualifying offer and just hit the market? Get out of New Orleans. Stuff like that. We always say, is that player going to leave? The player left because the team stunk. They weren't doing anything. He didn't like the direction of the team. We didn't like the direction of the team. We didn't like the general manager.
Ed Wade was a mess.
And then he got destroyed.
Absolute mess.
And I know about the whole Scott Rolen day, and he didn't come out and take a bow on a Sunday afternoon because it was Scott Rolen day.
Petty.
That's petty.
Don't be petty.
But that doesn't mean he wasn't a good player.
I mean, the fans for having complaints.
Might have been petty on his part by doing that, but that doesn't mean he wasn't a good player, a really good player, and you know where to place blame. Come on.
By the way, you got the other two players? You got Polanco. Polanco's the easy one.
That's the easy one.
Yeah, so you got the other two?
There was a pitcher.
There's two.
Two pitchers. Lefty. Who's the lefty? Can you give me that one?
I can give you initials.
Give me the initials.
I can give you MT.
MT.
Sorry, MT was the righty.
The righty.
Yeah.
MT, so it was the lefty.
BS.
Yeah, I knew it was, because I was like, something like Ben Smith was a simple.
Close.
Yeah.
Bud Smith. Yeah.
Yeah, Bud Smith.
Mike Timlin was the other one.
Well, I do know the name. Forgot that he was in the deal. 610-632-0975. On Twitter, 444 Podcast says, turn on the app, Fanatic. Devon, quote, are the Eagles better than the Cowboys? LOL. Whoa, man. We've only had one 58-minute practice. Way too early to judge, even with the roster improvements. But that's what we do. We ask the question. You can say, no, Dallas is better. I disagree.
I don't think it's too early to judge.
It's a legitimate question.
We're not sitting here saying...
We do this every offseason. Are they better?
We're not sitting here saying after one practice, are they better? We're sitting here saying on paper, as constructed, are they better than the Cowboys? Listen, if the Eagles have a catastrophic injury in the next week, we reevaluate. If the Cowboys make an insane move with the $17 they have left in cap space, we reevaluate, right? Like, if something happens, we're going to sit here and reevaluate that question. But for right now, it's an on-paper, think-piece type question.
Yep.
Has nothing to do with how many practices they've
had. Just a question. No, they are not. That's it. Just a question. 610-632-0975. We'll keep that going. Talk a little Phils on the other side as well as they get ready to take the field tonight against the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll give you the lineup later. And we have to talk to Tim McManus at 4 o'clock to get an update. Nothing happened today, but we'll talk to Tim and pick his brain a little bit about training camp as we get underway. The afternoon show on a Thursday, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
NBC Sports Philadelphia, the 3 o'clock hour, brought to you by Corpalese Bakery and Deli. World-famous tomato pie and a hoagie party trays. Every bit as good. Check them out, Corpalese Bakery. All right, let's get back to some birds. As 444 says on Twitter, he responds to what I said and points out, he says, not sure it is as much as a legit question as it is a, quote, bait question. And I responded, look, I don't do bait questions. I just do questions. It's a question. If we were sitting there together, just simply talking football, and I said to you, 4-for-4, are the Eagles better than the Cowboys now? You're not going to sit there and say that's a big question. You're going to sit there and answer the question. We're going to have a discussion. And that's simply what we're doing. So I don't do that. And I think you know me well enough to know I don't do that. When I don't start to do that, I'm not going to start to do that. I'm not doing that. It's not what I do. I just simply ask the question about the football team and where they are. As far as the Phillies go, as they begin a four-game series tonight against the Pittsburgh Pirates, all right, the Phillies have tonight on the mound, they have their ace going, as Zach Wheeler has tonight's game. And let's see what he can do against Zach Thompson, who is sporting a record of 3-7, has pitched 75 innings, given up 13 home runs, struck out 5, walked 32, given up 77 hits in the 75 and two-thirds innings with an ERA of 4.64. So can the Phillies lineup get to Zach Thompson? And on the other side, can Zach Wheeler do his part? Being the ace that he is, can he go out there and have a performance against this Pirates team where he basically shuts them down a little bit and allows the other side to do their part? He lost the last game against the Cubs, 6-2. That was a final. The team lost that one. He went 7 innings, gave up 3 hits and only 1 earned run in the game. Struck out 6, but they lost 6-2 as the game went to extra innings. He also lost the Toronto matchup before the All-Star break, and that was an 8-2 loss to the Blue Jays. 4 2/3, 7 hits, 6 runs, all earned. Gave up 2 home runs, only 4 strikeouts in that matchup in Toronto. So another game for him on the road, this time against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Does he have enough to get it done against this club, the Pittsburgh Pirates? I would think so. I would think that he should be able to go out there and do his job and get this one done.
Yeah, listen, it's true to say he wasn't very good against the Blue Jays before the All-Star break, right? And I think that he got so backed into a corner in a bad spot because they had to move the rotation around. They lost the first game.
Vaccination
stuff? Yeah, right. Yeah. They were down their starting catcher and a couple other guys. They had a whole bunch of things. Just really, it was kind of like a swell of bad stuff happening all at once. And we said it on the air. You and I talked about it the following evening after. And we said, listen, it almost feels like it's got to be a must-win for him. Like, it feels that way, right? Obviously, it's not. It's one game in baseball. But it feels that way because of how everything has transpired. It was a really bad spot to put him in. And then the following game against the Cubs, I mean, he was strong. He went 7 innings. He gave up 1 earned run. He even said to the reporters after the game, he didn't feel great. And I'm like, if you don't feel great after 7-1, and I think he had 6 or 7 strikeouts, then you know you're pitching well. I expect a good performance from Zach Wheeler tonight.
I do, too. I do, too. So we'll see what they can do and take this series. As we, you know what? I'm not going to jump like we did with the Chicago series. And we talked
Don't
about
it.
I'm not going to do it. I just want them to win the series. That means 3, hopefully 4. I just want them to win the series. They cannot tie the series. They have to win the series and make sure that they take advantage, again, of another opponent that's not as good as them. Just take advantage of what's right in front of you when it comes to this particular team. All right, as far as the Phils go with that and the career with against Zach Thompson, here are the numbers. Kyle Schwarber is 0-for-2, two strikeouts. Rhys Hoskins, 1-for-1, RBI. Nick Castellanos, 2-for-5, two RBI, one home run. Didi Gregorius, 1-for-3. Matt Vierling, 0-for-2, one strikeout. Everyone else, Bohm, Hall, Stott, and Stubbs, they have not faced yet Thompson. So let's see what they do against this guy tonight, sporting a 3-7 record. As far as Pittsburgh goes, the lineup is not available yet, so I don't have the numbers as of yet against Zach Wheeler. But once they are available, I will share those with you. So there's that. Any concern there with the lineup and not facing Thompson as of yet?
No.
Just the five guys that they have?
No, I mean, listen, I know that this is like a typical Philly thing to say. They've got a guy they're going up against whose numbers are really bad, and he's, you know, what is he, 3-7 or 4-7 this year, and he's got a plus 4 ERA. It's somewhere in the 4.5, 4.6, something along those lines. They're going to make him look like Randy Johnson tonight. They're going to make him look like Pedro Martinez tonight, and that's such a Philly thing to do. I'm not going to sit here and do that. Listen, I think it's a favorable matchup for the Phillies tonight. I do like Alec Bohm moving up in the lineup. He's been sensational. And you know I don't really care about lineup placement on a consistent basis, but I think when it merits it, when it calls for it, he deserves to move up. I think that the only thing that I would have done was potentially have him hit second. But I'm glad that he's, you know, moving up after the month of July that he's had so far. He's been really good.
So you would move him up to second?
Yeah, I would consider it at this point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, look, and especially with if Stubbs is going to be the catcher and JT Realmuto having the day off, you could see moving up and giving Alec Bohm that opportunity while you have somebody off tonight.
No, I mean for the rest of the year.
Okay.
I would consider, and listen, I understand that Segura is going to come back. I understand that Harper is going to maybe come back at some point. Until that time, I would feel a little bit more comfortable with the movement of him to two and I guess Hoskins at three, although Castellanos, you know, hitting at five feels, I guess, a little bit right. Right now, it feels a little bit, I don't know. It just feels like, you know what I mean? It's like a gut. It's a gut feel to put him at five, even though he's got a couple of base hits over the last couple of games. But the swing is just, it looks so lackluster.
Castellanos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that this is the right move to give Bohm a little bit of motivation. He's been really good in the month of July. And to give Castellanos a little bit of a kick.
And again, maybe this is the right team too. Now, he has been hitting against everybody, Alec Bohm.
And again,
maybe this is the right team.
Maybe.
And he hasn't faced Thompson yet.
Maybe it is, but I think we can't take that into consideration. Again, I'm not going to use the fourth easiest schedule in baseball thing because of the fact that they got swept by the Cubs. And that's it seems like it could be an isolated incident, just a bad weekend of baseball, but you can't use that as that leverage to say, well, this is the right team to do it against because of the fact that, you know, if you want to say it's the right team to do it against, you play all your backups and that's how you lose 3 out of 4. You know what I mean?
But they're not playing all their backups.
No, but that, you know what I'm saying, right? You get my point.
I do.
Where it's like, oh, you can give a rest day to this guy and a rest day to this guy. It doesn't feel like that is a feasible move.
Is that because you just feel like while the Phillies are good, they're not that good to be looking ahead over teams like that?
No, I think it's a baseball thing.
Okay.
I think that I would have the same conversation if we were sitting here doing Houston radio, if we were sitting here doing LA radio, if we were sitting here doing, you know, New York radio for either New York team, I'd be having the same conversation. You can't give games away.
No.
So I'm not going to tell you to, you know, try some things with a lineup just because you're going up against a lesser team. Baseball doesn't work that way.
No, it's not because it's saying just simply that, hey, it looks okay because you are playing a better team, but he's already hitting that way. So maybe it is the right time to do it. Maybe it just fell into place that way because Realmuto's off. You already have the injuries that are there. Castellanos not playing that well. So you know what? It's time to move somebody up. You're the one with JT Realmuto out. You're the one that we're going to give that opportunity to and move you up and see how you go against Zach Thompson. Again, a 3-7 pitcher this season. Righty, too. So We'll see how it fare.
So you get Didi in the lineup. That's why Derek Hall's in the lineup tonight, you know, in the four spot. And
Stott's still in there, second base.
See what happens. You can see what you can do with some power numbers.
Yep. All right. 610-632-0975. So yesterday we had Kevin from Delaware, and Kevin said that, and while we talked about Hurts the other day, I think it was Tuesday, while we talked about him already, when Kevin in Delaware is a good caller, calls us a lot, checks in quite a bit, multiple sports, said that he doesn't like how nationally Jalen Hurts is being depicted as this guy who has all this pressure on him for this upcoming season, when he feels like that's just simply not true. Now, while we had the conversation, we disagreed, I look at it and say he does have that pressure on him because there is a lot riding on his shoulders and what he needs to do in order for this football team to win. And wanted to bring that back since we didn't have as much time yesterday at the end of the show because we had some other things going on with the show. Wanted to bring it back today and kind of give a little more time to what Kevin had to point out yesterday about Jalen Hurts and the fact that the pressure part of him, because while we discussed it a little bit, it did become a bit of a trigger where a lot of folks called in and hit us up on Twitter and said a lot more about what Kevin pointed out. And it's not a knock on Kev because, you know, Kev got a little upset with where the conversation was going and he hung up. It's just the nature of what it is. The sport, the position of the sport, and how that just simply goes and where he is at this stage of his career. Yes, there's pressure because of what they also added to this offense in order for this team to win. He has to be the one that we all look to and say that he has to now go out there and deliver. When you have the wide receiver group, you have the skill people to go out there, the offensive line, the running backs, as they, while they may not be stars, they are talented with that group. He has to be the one. Everybody else has to do their job as well. But he has to be the one as the quarterback to go out there and take this team, maybe not to a big time level. We don't know yet. But what he can't do is make the mistakes and have this team in positions where they are deep in a hole early in the game. They have to find their way out of the hole and come back because he's not doing enough. And we're seeing constantly he missed this opportunity, he missed that opportunity. I'm trying to go into this season and look at him as a positive right now because I think that he will take advantage. I'm not saying he's going to go be Russell Wilson or those big arm guys that we talk about from Burrow to Herbert. I'm not saying he's going to go out there and do that. I'm not asking him to do that. All I am simply pointing out, and I know others have said this and we will talk about it and we'll get Tyler's thoughts as well off of Kevin's statement of national people talking about the pressure being on Jalen Hurts, and that's not true for him. That's just not true, period. Of what Kevin is saying, there is pressure on Jalen Hurts. There's pressure on Nick Sirianni as a second-year head coach, but there's definitely pressure on a second-year quarterback who is a second-round pick who they have handed the keys to, tried to replace, if you believe a lot of the reports out there, with some veteran, more established signal callers in the NFL. There's certainly pressure on him to succeed this season. Not just for the season, but for his standing with this organization going forward. So, wanted to bring it back. If you agree with Kevin that there is not pressure on Jalen Hurts, let us know why. 610-632-0975. And on the other side, why there is pressure on Jalen Hurts, because I think that there is. Now, I also follow it up by saying, I think that he can handle the pressure. To what level, to what extent, I don't know yet. But I do know I like his demeanor. I like how he goes about things. But when it all comes back to everything about him, we love him when he speaks to the media. We love all the great things that he does in the community. We love how he handles things, except for when we've seen him on the field and say, why is this part not now translating to the field as well? Why is he panicking here in this spot? Why is he throwing the ball in this particular place? Why is he turning the ball over now, instead of being composed and under control, under pressure, as he's trying to win this football game in the moment? Things get tight all the time. We've seen him handle the pressure. We've also seen him buckle under the pressure a little bit And the latest one, the last one that we got as an example, was the postseason game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where they just simply did not play well. We always highlight that New York Giants game. He did not perform well. Well, there is pressure on Jalen Hurts. Sorry, Kev. There just simply is. So do you believe there is pressure on Jalen Hurts? As we talked about the Eagles being a better football team, that's the one thing that we'd give definitively an edge to the Dallas Cowboys. That's the quarterback position with Dak Prescott. That's the one position that we look at and say they have the advantage. And Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. I hope that Jalen Hurts can get to that level, because that's how good I think Dak Prescott is. There's absolutely pressure on Jalen Hurts this season. 610-632-0975. Tyler, you heard the phone call. We both looked at each other, and we disagree with Kevin.
Of course there's pressure on Jalen Hurts. Again, we talked about it yesterday. There's pressure on just about every quarterback in the NFL. It's different levels of pressure. It's different kinds of pressure. It's some guys, it's get your big contract pressure. Some guys, it's stay in the league pressure. Some guys, it's stay a starter pressure. Some guys, it's become a starter pressure. Some guys, it's win a Super Bowl pressure. It's all different pressure. And it's a scale between, like, be established as a starting quarterback, you know, get to the mountaintop, right? So you've got, like, Josh Allen here, who I think, to me, Josh Allen this season has the most pressure of any quarterback. Because of the fact that the Bills are slated to be the best team in football, or amongst the best teams in football. And of the upper echelon tier teams that have upper echelon tier quarterbacks, you think about the Rams. They're coming off their Super Bowl. The Bucks have already won their Super Bowl. Who else you got? Joe Burrow went to a Super Bowl. So I think that of those quarterbacks, right, because I think that you have to have both of them, great team and great quarterback. So I'm not sure if Green Bay falls into that list anymore, because of the fact that I'm not sure if they're a great team anymore. I think they're a very, very good team, right? But I think that they're maybe not a top tier, tier one team anymore. I think Josh Allen has the most pressure of every quarterback in the NFL. Jalen Hurts has a different kind of pressure than Josh Allen, but it is present, and it is real.
Yep.
And I'm not going to call it substantial like a Josh Allen's is. I think Dak Prescott has more pressure than Jalen Hurts, but Jalen Hurts' pressure is very real, and it definitely exists.
It does. It really does. And when you talk about Josh Allen, as you said, now we're looking at him as, is he going to supplant now Patrick Mahomes and be that quarterback to get to the Super Bowl?
Right.
Beat him. Now beat Joe Burrow, who also has now beat Patrick Mahomes in this, and take that Buffalo Bills team to that next level. Stephon Diggs is Stephon Diggs, and you have the other talented offensive players that they have. The defense is really good, but it's about Josh Allen. Then the other part of it comes when you get that big money like Josh Allen has now received, the pressure comes with that. And so on and so forth around the league with where your standing is with these young teams, where you are as this team is building, and you're in this place now to be one of the top teams in the NFL. That's his form of pressure. Just like there's pressure now on Kyler Murray to, as we have this information about his 4 hours of practice. If he goes out there and throws a stinker up there, there's going to be more pressure with him, because now he has to answer questions like, hey Kyler, did you study? Did you study this week? Things right. Like that.
Kyler Murray has an enormous amount of pressure.
Yes, he does. Cliff Kingsbury might lose his job.
Sure.
That's pressure.
I mean, I know he signed the extension, but extension for coaches don't mean much anymore.
No, it does not. So that's why, and Kevin is back, so we're going to get Kevin up here and give Kevin all his time to, again, voice his piece here about the statement that he made about the pressure coming from national people, but there's also the pressure here locally of what he needs to do. He has a job. He's still auditioning for his job
sure.
In the future. That's pressure. As a second-year quarterback and in the NFL and in Philadelphia also. 610-632-0975. By the way, 444 Pod jumps back in and says, all right, I'll answer the question. Not yet. They have not. They are not better than the Cowboys just yet.
Okay.
He says,
that's
one,
fine.
Cowboys have been better than the Eagles for years. Say what you will about Dak, but he's good and he's a vet. We know he's good and he's a vet. We said he's a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. Two, Eagles passed the paper test, but they haven't played one game as a team with this roster. We know that. That's why we said, right now, it looks like they are the better team. They will surpass the Dallas Cowboys based on the paper test and what they've done this offseason. And three, have we forgotten how bad JC and his defense was last season? Well, no, we haven't forgotten. We think they've gotten better by adding Bradberry, adding more depth to the defensive front line like they have, and improving the linebacker group. So, no, we haven't forgotten. That's part of the paper, though, where we look at it and say, they've gotten better. And now, as a team, in totality, they are a better football team. But we appreciate it, as always. He said he would call in, but he's at work. And he said, keep doing what we're doing. This is a great show. So we appreciate it. As always, 610-632-0975. Keep talking about the Eagles and the Cowboys. And now we are also bringing in the Jalen Hurts conversation. Kevin's going to talk about it on the other side. His comment that there's no pressure on Jalen Hurts. 610-632-0975. Family game day as well. We'll give you your questions, an opportunity to join us Fan Fest in October with a baseball question, baseball trivia today. Tyler Zuli is the game show host as well. He'll also have leftovers in the 5 o'clock hours. We hang out with you until 6 on this Thursday. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia. 610-632-0975. Back to the phones in just a second, but we have to get a Twitter poll update brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown, PA, talking about the Birds and the Cowboys. What's the latest, Ty?
Yeah, so a little over 400 votes on this one. You've got like 2 hours and some change to vote on it still. Fill in the blank. Heading into the 2022 season, the Eagles are blank, then the Cowboys. 58% of the votes say they are slightly better. 23% of the votes say they're definitively better. 16% say they're slightly worse. Just 3% say they are definitively worse.
And we say slightly better.
Yes.
Slightly better.
Correct.
At this point.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
With where they are. So go ahead and vote. Check it out. 97.5 The Fanatic on Twitter. Again, 2 hours remaining. So go ahead and jump in. Definitively better, slightly worse, definitively worse. Go ahead and get in on the Twitter.
I don't really think that there is any justifiable reason for anybody to select either of the definitively the definitive answers, right? Because there's no way that they're definitively worse than the Cowboys.
No.
Because they've improved substantially. And I think that they were probably slightly to maybe definitively worse. Let's be honest. I think they probably were definitively worse than the Cowboys last year. So if they've improved and the Cowboys have recessed a little bit, there's no way they can be definitively worse. I also don't think, unless you have a Super Bowl type season, and we're not going to know that until the season starts, there's no way that you can go from slightly worse or definitively worse to definitively better in one off season. Mm-hmm. Unless something happens where you've got a team that has a quarterback that's elite and that quarterback retires, right? Like the Colts or goes to another team. The Colts lose Peyton Manning. They go from definitively better than everybody else in the AFC South to definitively worse that year. We all knew it was coming. Yes. Like, the demise was going to be there. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's the case for either of these teams. Like, even if you take Dak Prescott off the Cowboys, hypothetically, the Cowboys would not be, you would not go from definitively worse to definitively better.
Okay. All right, let's go to Harold Stotto on Twitter first, and then we get to Kevin. Says, Jalen has the same pressure as any NFL quarterback. Herbert, Carr, Allen all have more pressure on the season. Jalen gets more pressure from fans than anyone else. Some fans want him to be perfect or it's not good enough. Local haters are going to hang on his every mistake. That's true. But That's what Philadelphia. It was Hurts. It was Wentz, Vic, Cobb, McNabb, everybody. Same thing with Foles when he was starting. There was pressure on there because as soon as you lose a game, they're on you. Rightfully so. It's part of the gig. It's part of the job. There's pressure on the quarterback. Now, since we were talking about Kevin bringing this up yesterday, and we get a chance to talk to him again today, see where he is today on the comment about Jalen Hurts. What's up, Kev? Welcome back to the show.
How you doing, fellas?
Oh, doing good, man.
Man, yes, I am. I guess I'm the only Eagle fan that's going to think this way, that Jalen Hurts is given an opportunity, and I just hope that he takes full advantage of his opportunity. That's the way I look at it, and
I don't disagree with that, Kev. I want to see him succeed too.
That's the way I look at it.
No, I want to see him succeed too. If he succeeds, they win. So why would I want to see him fail? I don't want to see him replaced. Right. I thought that he should have gotten the opportunity again. I understand why they might have tried to upgrade that position with some veteran guys more established in the league, but he's there. I think I see something there. If he can do it, then why not keep him there?
You know, about this pressure thing, you know, that 2017 team, them guys were making plays all over the field. You know, they were having fun. All these different type of end zone celebration. You know, they was out there having fun. I didn't hear anything about pressure on Carson Wentz because they was out there having fun. Now, I'm hoping that this happens this year with this team. You know, now I know that if they start losing, two guys are going to get blamed, the coach and the QB.
But that's how it always goes, isn't it, Kev?
Yeah. So I'm just hoping that they have fun. And Brandon Graham said something the other day.
Sure.
He said he's going to let y'all guys talk about all that stuff. We have to come together as a team.
That's how it should be. They shouldn't worry about what any of us say. They should only worry about what's going on within that locker room.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, Devon.
Hey, Kev.
That's all I got, man. Thanks.
Hey, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking back in. Nothing wrong with what Brandon Graham said. They should not be worried about what we or anybody else has to say. They should be worried about the task at hand, which is go out there and win. And that's within that locker room. Yes, they hear the stuff, right? Who said it the other day? Nick Castellanos. Oh, I can't hear it, you know, because of the booze and all that. Okay, yeah. All right. Okay. But anyway, yeah, I don't have a problem with what Brandon Graham said. He's supposed to say that. He's supposed to say that.
Of course he is.
And he's a veteran. He knows how to handle it. You don't think he's had these conversations with Jalen Hurts? Not to worry about the outside noise? Not to worry about what's being written or anything along those lines? Of course not. Quarterbacks and head coach are always going to have the most pressure on them because that's the nature of the job. That's it.
Well, and I think what Kevin said today is different than what Kevin was speaking about yesterday. What Kevin was speaking about yesterday kind of stemmed this conversation. What Kevin's speaking about today, I think that a bulk of us in this city and in this fan base can agree upon. We all, let me rephrase that. 98% of Eagles fans, whether you believe in Jalen Hurts or not, whether you think he's the guy or not, whether you think he's the long-term answer or not, want Jalen Hurts to succeed, right? Because A, it makes things easiest for this team moving forward.
Yes.
And B, it means that if Jalen Hurts succeeds, you said it. If Jalen Hurts succeeds, this team succeeds, right?
They win.
So I think 98% of the fan base want to see him succeed. There's a small portion that are weirdos and like they think that he's not good. So they go, well, this guy stinks. I hope he fails so he gets out of town. You know what I mean? But it's a very, very small percentage of the fan base. The difference between us putting pressure on him in a sense of, We'd like to see, you know, tangible results, and the pressure being there are two different things. The pressure is going to be there for him to succeed, for the team to succeed, for him to be statistically better, for him to make mechanical adjustments, for him to make better decisions, because he's not a perfect quarterback.
Right.
But for the most part, like Kevin said today, I want him to go out there and have fun. I think having fun helps you play. Like, winning is important, obviously. It's the most important thing. But when you're playing fun, when you're playing free, when you're playing relaxed,
yes,
you play better most of the time.
Correct.
I agree with Kevin on that sentiment. It's what he was saying yesterday is what we're talking about.
Right, absolutely. 610-632-0975. Don't forget, the question is also, are the Eagles better than the Dallas Cowboys on paper? On paper. We'll rephrase it a little bit. On paper, going into the season on paper, are they better than the Dallas Cowboys? Tony in New Jersey. Don't forget, it's also Family Game Day. We'll throw a question your way for a chance to join us at FanFest. Tony in New Jersey next on 97.5 and NBC Sports Philadelphia. How you doing, Tone?
It's Tommy.
I'm sorry?
It's Tommy, sorry.
Tommy, how you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing great. I actually...
Sorry about that.
...love the show. No problem at all. So definitely on paper, I feel the Eagles are better than the Cowboys. Number one, we have a better offensive line, better D-line, and we improved in a lot of areas that we were bad. Now, when it comes to play calling, that could be an issue, but we'll see when the season comes up.
Yep.
But one of the main things, especially with the Jalen Hurts thing that I think a lot of people are forgetting, yes, technically last year was his first year starting, so basically it was like his rookie year.
Uh-huh.
And he still led the team to the playoffs. And not only that, we forget how many touchdown passes he got called back or dropped that affected his numbers as well. So with a bad team, well, let's not say bad team, a team that had to develop under a new coach, he still was able to lead that team to the playoffs. Even if he just what he was last year, with the improvements around the team, we should have a better team.
I think so. I agree with you. Slightly better as we have with the results. Well, as the voting goes on the Twitter account, just slightly better. But guess what? That's better. And if that's the case, then that means that they are have a chance to win this division and hopefully make some noise when they get into the postseason. So, yeah, again, I've said this before, Tommy, I like the cornerback edition of James Bradbury, the Hassan Reddick edition, Jordan Davis as well on the defensive side, and the linebacker position overall as a group looks to be much better in general. So that right there improves this football team. So when you go back to last season and you talk about the drop passes from Jalen Reagor or even J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who also dropped a couple of scores. Look, Dallas got to drop the touchdown or two when we saw him kind of lose focus as well. So you're right. Those are some numbers. He finished 16-9, I think he did last year. Touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
And I think in that Kansas City game, there was 3 called back touchdowns on penalties alone.
Yeah, the one here. Yep. Absolutely. So, listen, man, I agree with you. On paper, I think they are a better football team. Tommy, we're also playing Family Game Day for a chance to join us at FanFest. Would you like a question, a baseball trivia question, to have an opportunity to join us?
Sure. I'm not that great at baseball, but I'll give it a shot.
All right, let's do it.
All right. At the trade deadline, well, actually, post-trade deadline, it was back when they had the remember the waiver trade deadlines, Devon?
I do.
It's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, the ones that were later in August.
Yes, so on August 29th, the year that the Philadelphia Phillies won the World Series, they sent just Fabio Castro to the Toronto Blue Jays in exchange for a bat that helped them win the World Series. Who was the hitter?
Deep into the night.
I know I'm going to be wrong.
Deep into the night.
Victorino?
No, Victorino was already on the team.
Matt Stairs. Remember Tommy when he hit that home run against the Dodgers? Yeah, man. Yeah, that's an unforgettable one. Tom, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you checking in. And we'll try to get you to FanFest another time. That one just stands out.
I don't think that ball's come down yet.
Nah. He connected.
Absolutely crushed it.
That thing was gone. And they had memorable ones in the entire World Series run. From Joe Blanton to Shane Victorino's home
grand
run.
Grand slam.
Yep.
Take it back a couple of bats, the Brett Myers walk.
The fact that he batted, what was that? That was in Milwaukee, right?
Against CeCe, too.
Yeah, CeCe Sabathia. So
back when Milwaukee was throwing CeCe like 9 times a week.
And who was the player? Was it Jeff Jenkins that got the bat out of the
Jeff Jenkins delay? Had the leadoff double out of the rain delay.
Out of the rain delay. So, and we thought that was a home run.
I thought Pat Burrell's was a home run.
Right. And that, yeah, so... They had some memorable ones, man. You remember
Seriously.
That stuff when
yep.
you win. Absolutely. So that deep into the night, Matt Stairs, great call by Joe Buck. All right, Frank, we come back. We get you first when we get back. Don't forget, Tim McManus at 4 o'clock. He joins us, ESPN.com and 97.5 The Fanatic, for his daily training camp visit. We'll talk to him about this Jalen Hurts pressure. How much is there on him in the mind of Tim McManus? We'll get to it all next. Right now, though, we talk to Frank first before we get to Tim at 4 o'clock. The afternoon show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports. All right, 346, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia. Devon Givens with you, 610-632-0975. Tim McManus on the other side. We'll get to him at 4 o'clock and pick his brain on the Birds as they have the day off. We'll walk through back on the field tomorrow for day three, technically, of training camp. We'll do that at 4 o'clock, as mentioned. But as promised, we go to Frank next in Philly on 97.5 and NBC Sports, Philadelphia. Frank.
Devon, talk to me, Devon. So, what do you mean by succeeding with Jalen Hurts this year?
Winning. Just winning games. Getting to the postseason. Winning the division, hopefully. Winning a playoff game or two, and or however long, how far they go. I don't really have big numbers, Frank, for him. I just talk about a player who's going to come in, not make mistakes, be better and improve on the things that he maybe wasn't so great at a season ago. And it's just a better overall quarterback where we are allowed to really take full advantage, Frank, of the offensive weaponry that he has.
Okay. Now, my thing is, I don't want a quarterback that plays not to lose. Now, my thing is to Jalen Hurts. He has to go over 4,000 yards. He has to have 28 to 32 touchdown passes.
Passing.
I don't care about running the ball. Running the ball may win regular season for a quarterback, but when it comes postseason, you've seen those quarterbacks last year. Mm-hmm. He's not competing with them, and you can't teach arm talent. He wants to run first. If he was more like Russell Wilson, scrambled to make plays, to throw, he don't do that. He wants to take off and use his legs, and that's not going to win in the NFL. It may win during the regular season, but postseason, defenses are going to destroy that.
Well, did you hear when Nick Sirianni spoke on, what was that, Wednesday? Nick Sirianni spoke Wednesday, and he talked about how they want to play to his strengths. They want to do things that are more conducive to what Jalen Hurts is good at so they can have some positive outcomes on the field.
Then the last caller says Jalen Hurts got us to the playoffs. No, he didn't. They took the ball out of his hands.
And they ran the football. Right.
And my thing is, again, running the football is good during the regular season. Come postseason, these quarterbacks are gunslingers. Like, Jalen Hurts is no gunslinger.
Doesn't mean you can't win that way. Doesn't mean you can't win that way. It means that's what we've seen. Now, can Nick Sirianni go into a playoff game and outcoaches the opponent and do that and win that way? I don't know, because we have seen it done before.
It's just a passing league, man, and I just don't see Hurts being that guy.
Okay.
Even if he wins the 10, 11 games, I don't think it's because of Hurts. It's despite him.
Wow.
That's how I feel. I'm sorry.
No, listen, don't apologize to me. I mean, he has to go out there and do it, and we're all going to talk about it, and we'll get
and
to it all
to
as he does.
4,000 yards to have any conversation to stay here, because pulling like 3,000 yards then rushing for eight.
All right, so he had what, 31, and he missed a couple of games last year. So what if he has 3,800 yards passing, but he has 25 passing touchdowns, 10 rushing touchdowns, and he keeps his interceptions to a minimum
than last year.
Yes.
And you're saying 700 more yards from last year.
Yes.
Now, you know the defenses are going to lock down on Goddard and all these guys and make him do what he
does. Well, all these guys, there are three guys. You can't stop all three of them.
I agree, but Jalen Hurts can't throw the ball between the hashes.
Well, that's an improvement we hope to see, right?
That's a proven fact.
Well, I'm saying that's an improvement that we hope to see.
I just don't.
No, you. Well, I'm saying, but do you hope to see that improvement?
No.
He's going to be your quarterback. He's not going anywhere right now. So, don't you want to see him hit the middle of the field?
I would love to see him make me wrong 1,000%. But I just don't.
Okay.
Just don't see it in him.
All right. Well, listen.
And
I mean, that's what
I'm tired of hearing.
That's what we're going to have to talk about as the season goes along.
He's such a guy. I'm tired. I need
we all know
in
it.
This city.
I know. We all know it. We all know it. Frank, you want a question, man?
Yes, go on.
Let's get a question. Ty, am I up 4-0?
Yeah, it's 4-0 you.
All right.
Yeah, assuming I can hit the button.
It's okay.
It's hard to do that sometimes. These touchscreens don't work.
You have a lot of buttons.
They work.
A lot of things.
It's on me.
It's all good.
It's user error.
No worries.
All right. In 2000, Frank, the Phillies sent Curt Schilling to the Arizona Diamondbacks in exchange for 4 players. Can you give me one of those players?
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness.
5-0.
You're talking. Oh, my God. I was like 15. I don't even remember this. I'm an Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm going to say I can't even give you a name off of that team.
The main one was Travis Lee.
Correct.
Yes, the main one was Travis Lee. Frank, great call, man. Good back and forth. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk. We'll catch up. Name was Travis Lee. But I know there were others that have names that I don't remember everybody.
Well, yes, they have names.
Yes, they do have names.
They do have names.
What was the pitcher?
Travis Lee wasn't the one that ended up having the most sticking power, though.
No, it was the pitcher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well, I mean, it was 3 pitchers.
Give me his initials.
VP.
Vicente. Was it really Padilla?
Vicente Padilla, yep. So Padilla and Lee.
Give me another one.
And there were 2 other pitchers.
Give me 2 more initials.
Well, NF.
Nelson Figueroa.
Yep. And
that's who I was thinking about over Vicente.
OD.
Omar Dahl.
Correct.
All right.
It's good work. 5-0.
Not good work by them.
Well, no, that trade was terrible.
Not good work by them. Good work by us on that one. 610-632-0975. Look, I cannot tell anybody how to feel about Jalen Hurts. You feel how you feel. Yes, we all want to be proven wrong when you are a doubter of his ability to, as Frank talked about, hitting the middle of the field successfully. But if you want your team to win, you want him to improve on that skill.
Sure. You know...
That's the thing.
Let's go to the Sixers for a second. You know who I want to be proven wrong about.
Matisse Thybulle.
You know that I do not like Matisse Thybulle. However, I would love for Matisse Thybulle to come out and say, yo, Zuli, this is for you, and improve his offensive game.
Yes.
And I will come on these airwaves and tell you, yep, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. I just needed to wait another season. But I don't see it. So if you don't see it in Jalen Hurts, that's fine. But I think, again, we talked about it, like Frank just said, I'd love to be proven wrong. But if you don't see it, you don't see it. That's fine.
That's it. You're allowed. That's allowed. You don't have to like the guy.
Right.
You don't. And if you're tired of the nice guy thing, I know, pardon me, I know, everybody is. Just go out there, play ball, get the results and
I don't
see
think,
what happens.
I'm not tired of it. Because the alternative is worse.
No,
it's way worse.
For me, mentioning it. I don't.
Oh, you mean if we talk about it?
I think he has, so as Frank talked about having that dog, and we speak about that, the Sixers, a lot. I think he has that in him, Jalen Hurts. He has that. So can he do the other stuff? I think he has that in him. I do.
So here's the thing. I don't think that we need, you know, the Brian Dawkins type, like, you know, I'm going to take his soul.
No.
Like he said, you don't need. Yeah, you don't need that, like, right?
What?
Right. So, like, I don't need Jalen Hurts to be that guy. I just need it when he gets in between the lines to, you know, to be able to separate I'm a good dude from that mentality. And I think that's something he's proven that he can do.
Yep, absolutely, man. All right, we come back. We got to speak to Tim McManus of ESPN.com, Mark in Camden. He's there. We'll talk to Mark a little bit after Tim and everybody else, 610-632-0975. We'll continue to read the tweets. And we'll also talk about Tyler wanted to bring up this basketball thing. Don't forget about the Phillies, but this basketball thing that he wanted to share with some grading system. We'll get to that as well in the 4 o'clock hour, 610-632-0975, the afternoon show. Tim McManus on the other side, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. 402-975, the Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia. 4 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. And as always, during training camp, got day one in the books yesterday. We get day two with our guy from ESPN.com and NBC and 97.5, The Fanatic as well. Contributor Tim McManus joins us. But before we do that, the training camp report is brought to you by...
Our training camp report is brought to us by the new BetParks app. Everything you want in a digital casino and sportsbook in one sleek app. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
T-Mac joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. What's up, man?
What's going on? How you doing, Devon?
Doing pretty good, man. Going back and forth with a lot of people today because we were talking about, we had a call yesterday from a great caller, Kevin, who was talking about pressure being put on Jalen Hurts nationally. He didn't think that that was fair to the quarterback, the second-year starting quarterback for the Eagles. And we disagreed. Most of the callers disagreed. So as we talked about it today, and Kevin did call back to talk about it a little bit today, I wanted to ask you, as they have the day off, what level of pressure does Jalen Hurts have on him going into the season, if any?
He's got a high amount of pressure. I mean, number one, he plays in Philly. He's the quarterback of the Eagles. All eyes are on him. That is always a pressure-packed position. And it's kind of laid out there, plain to see, about what this year is. It's about him. It's about whether he is capable enough of being the franchise guy. And that's what this year really, I mean, is largely about. He's not officially in a contract year, but once you get past your third year, you know, that's when you're eligible for a new contract. And we know the situation where the Eagles have multiple first round picks and what's supposed to be a draft rich draft coming up, or a QB rich draft coming up next April. And if they feel like, you know, Hurts isn't that, then they're probably going to use that ammunition to get a quarterback one way or another. On the other hand, if he shows that he can guide this team to some high places, that he might get a very handsome payday, like in a matter of months. So it's a different conversation about how Hurts sort of processes it all. But is there pressure? I mean, you know, no question about it.
And he does seem like one who can handle the pressures, but it's about also going out there and showing and prove. So part of the other discussions that we've had with the conversations about him is the things that he has to do to improve from last season. So, Tim, what is it that really stands out going into year number two as a full-time starter of things that he has to improve on from year one as a starter to year two?
I mean, simply, it's accuracy, and it's getting the ball out on time. You know, that's where, like, if you look at his completion percentage, he was 26th in the NFL. It's got to come up. It just does. Now, one thing that's working to his benefit is, as he pointed out at his press conference yesterday, that this is the first time he's been in the same offensive system since his dad's system back in high school.
Wow.
So he hasn't really had that opportunity to be able to soak in, you know, all the language and all that goes into a particular offense for any longer than one season. Now he knows what Nick Sirianni's offense is all about. And, you know, according to Sirianni, you're already starting to see the benefits of that. And the offensive coordinator Shane Steichen said the same thing back in OTAs, that, the timing does look like it's better. The accuracy looks like it has jumped up between both the knowledge that he has about the system, the fact that he was working pretty hard on his mechanics this offseason in Southern Cali. Those two factors have led to what they've seen as a jump anyway. But as we know, Devon, it's all talk until you get into it. You know, until you get into the teeth of the actual games and see whether those fundamentals stick and see whether he's able to, to pull it off.
Absolutely. And a lot of that, we'll be seeing there shortly with so many weapons that he has. Tim McManus joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. And Tim, one of those weapons that we mentioned in passing yesterday was Dallas Goedert. I remember speaking to you early in training camp and during the preseason and at the start, where a lot of the work that he had during that time was with the tight ends. At that point, it was Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. We didn't see a lot of it during the season, but now it's just Dallas Goedert. He's the guy. He's the one talked about as being a top 10 tight end in this league. How much are we to expect from him as he finally gets the reins all unto himself? No pressure, no more Zach Ertz questions. he just goes out there and has a chance to ball.
Yeah, you know, I think the ceiling's even higher, like top five, top three. Like, I think that he's got it in him. I think that it's very possible. And as you laid out, like, this is really, even though he's been in the league for a handful of years now, this is his first full opportunity to be the tight end one for an entire season. And I think that there's reason to expect, you know, him to have some really kind of gaudy numbers this year. And part of that is, like, you know, he's also got AJ Brown now that's going to be pulling some attention. So if you look at, you know, last year's kind of throwing chart for Hurts, there's almost nothing over the middle. And I think that you're going to see a greater comfort level, and more execution over there, especially with AJ Brown coming in, being able to throw some of those shorter routes, having him, you know, get the yak. And it's going to take a lot of sort of the eyes off of Goddard, I think, over the middle largely. It's going to give him some space to operate. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, what's behind Goddard and what happens if he goes down? Like, this isn't the deepest the tight end group has ever been, but, you know, but I think that assuming that he is able to stay on the field, they can get a whole lot of production out of him.
Yeah, and looking at the running back position too, Tim, where it is Miles Sanders. He's back again, and you spoke about the contractual part with Jalen Hurts. The same can be said for Miles Sanders and that running back group with Kenny Gainwell doing a lot of good things in year one, Boston Scott back once again, and there's a lot of pressure on Miles Sanders. How will they use him this year? Will this be a year of let's go out there and use Miles Sanders because he's a talented back and we want to bring him back and get another good look at him and if he can stay on for 16 as a dual threat? Or is it, all right, let's use Miles Sanders, run him to the ground, he's going to move on, and we'll readjust next season with Kenny Gainwell and company?
Devon, you're so right to be pointing this storyline out because I think it's, you know, a significant one. And I know that there's a large swath of the fantasy football community that probably, you know, is still writing hate mail towards me because this time last season I wrote something about, you know, Miles Sanders is going to break out and here's why. And then, you know, after the season, I'm like, I can't believe I did that. What was I thinking? And then looking at him again this summer, it's like, oh, right, that's what I'm thinking. Like, he's running behind one of the best offensive lines in football. He's got Jalen Hurts as his partner who's drawing attention away from him. And when you watch Miles Sanders run, like, he's got ability just oozing out of him. It's really just a matter of, can he stay on the field and be consistent? And last year was another example of, you know, if those injuries biting him. He ends up only playing in 12 games, but right when the Eagles go to that run-heavy offense is when he goes down against Las Vegas. He didn't score a single touchdown. And it's just like, but then there's moments of, like, you know, flashing. And so, you know, I'm not going to make that same mistake again of saying this is the breakout year for Miles Sanders, but you see where the possibilities are, given all the factors that are playing to his favor. And, you know, like you said, he's in a contract year. He's going to be extremely motivated, you know, to get that second contract, whether it's here or elsewhere. But he's got Kenny Gainwell as somebody who has the potential to really come on here. I mean, I thought that he had an impressive rookie season, and was able to not just catch balls out of the backfield, but I thought was pretty effective as a runner as well.
Sure.
And so it's going to be a fascinating storyline that doesn't have a clear answer yet, but will play out over the course of the season. And something, you know, you and I are going to be talking, you know, as we go throughout the season, I think, on a weekly basis.
Yeah, and Tim McMahon is joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, ESPN.com, and 97.5 The Fanatic. And Tim, one of the things that we always talk about with Sanders is he'll have this great game, he'll have these two or three consecutive great games, and then he'll have a game where he's going well, and then you'll see the play happen of, why didn't he follow his block? He missed that hole. And then you see the reaction of his offensive line where they're just like waving their arms like, why didn't you follow me to the second level and do that? So those are some of the things outside of the receiving part of it. It's just those basic things that a running back does where he obviously believes in his ability to cut back and maybe break it out to the other side, the opposite side where the traffic is not necessarily there, but he gets caught. Or the not thinking enough to stay in bounds instead of going out of bounds. And those are the things that will follow him as a young back until he figures all of that out and puts it together.
No, I think that's well said. In the first day of training camp, he goes out on a route Ball is thrown to him in a pretty good spot, and he bobbles it a few times before hauling it in. And you could just feel like, you know, as the media starts reporting it on
here we
Twitter,
go again.
You feel kind of the restriction around, you know, and the angst of the Philadelphia fan base as that's happening. So, yeah, I mean, you know, catch balls out of the backfield, did like a spectacular job of that his rookie year, and then it just kind of went sideways for him. He's got to get that element back in his game. Like, if we're talking about, all right, so the Eagles have said he's the starter. In order for him to be that workhorse guy, I think he's going to have to show improvement in that pass game. And, yeah, like following the right blocks, not pushing it outside. It looked at times like guys like Boston Scott and Kenny Gainwell and Jordan Howard almost seemed like a better fit, you know, for this offense in spots last year because of the way that Sanders was running at times. But I don't think there's any question about where the talent, you know, a lot of the talent lies. And so, yeah, he's just got to put it together here.
And Tim, as we shift over to the defensive side, one of the big additions outside of Jordan Davis was the N'Kobe Dean draft selection in the third round, where so many had him as a first round pick, but he dropped to the third, and we still don't technically, even though they've spoken, have answers as to why that happened. He seemed like a surefire first rounder, dropped to the Birds, so good for them. Who is he, and why did he drop so far, as you have now had weeks and months to kind of look at this, and he's now in Camden, looks fine, right, healthy. Why did he drop, and who is he as a player, and where does he stand with the Birds?
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to the medicals, and it seems like the Eagles have a different evaluation on those medicals as, you know, a lot of the rest of the NFL. I don't think it's just one thing, you know, whether it's shoulder, knee. Like, I think there was multiple things that teams might have been concerned about not necessarily, like, can he get on the field in the spring, but probably more like how long is his career going to be? So those things kind of come up. The Eagles feel really good about, you know, about their analysis of that situation. And certainly they are in love with the player and with the person. Nick Sirianni, I still remember after they drafted him, we're sitting there, you know, it was like later at night, and he comes into the auditorium where all the press is, and he's like, come on, get fired up. Don't you know who we just took? You know, like slamming the table. He's all fired up about it. And they see somebody who was one of the best players in college football, was a leader for the best defensive team in college last year, national champions, and somebody that has, you know, all the intangibles that they're looking for as well. You know, not many big, like, moments in day one out of N'Kobe Dean. He wasn't running with the first team. In fact, probably the most memorable thing was, you know, him carrying the Rita's water ice for all the veterans afterwards. It's got to be a humbling experience going from, like, big man on campus to, you know, back to in the big pond being the smaller fish. But he seemed to handle that well, and he's certainly going to have his opportunities. I think it's only a matter of time before he starts getting into the mix pretty significantly at linebacker.
So right now at linebacker, with the improvements from Kaiser White, Hassan Reddick, and N'Kobe Dean, T.J. Edwards with a good season last year as well. What does, at least right now on paper, what does that depth chart look like and where he is at the bottom, but what does the chart look like?
Yeah, I don't know that I put him at the bottom, but I would say that at least from what we saw yesterday when they were running more of like a two linebacker look, and that's primarily what they're going to be. And I mean, you know, the days of, you know, three linebackers are largely gone in the NFL. And that's where we saw T.J. Edwards and Kaiser White running as one and two on day one. And Edwards, I like Edwards as a player, first of all. I mean, they were way too late in putting him into the lineup, starting lineup last year. I think he really produced and sort of changed the look of that defense when he did come in. And he had a really good play yesterday. I think Marcus Epps had the big play, like we talked about, the diving interception of Jalen Hurts in the end zone. But the number two play was from T.J. Edwards. A.J. Brown was going across the middle. Hurts hits him on time. Looks like an easy completion. Edwards gets his hands in there and rips it out of the hands of A.J. Brown. And that's not an easy thing to do. A.J. Brown's, you know, got some of the stronger hands out of receivers in the NFL. And ripped it out. And so, you know, good start for him. And at least initially, that's what the depth chart's looking like.
Okay. And finally, Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tim, Have the Eagles caught up? This is our question today on the show. Have the Eagles caught up to the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, you know, when you think of the Cowboys, really what usually jumps out is, oh, they're great at the skill positions. But are they really great at the skill positions right now? I mean, they have CeeDee Lamb, and then that, like, is there anything that's super exciting? Like, Zeke, you know, I just don't know where he is in his career, whether he's going to recapture what he had. I'm not sure that the offensive line is quite what the offensive line was. You know, defensively, they certainly have some real nice blue chip players on defense. And then they have the quarterback in Dak Prescott, but who is the consensus best QB in the division for sure. And so that is a separator for them. But I think, like, if you're looking at the roster in totality, I think the Eagles have caught them, and probably passed them. So I think that it's going to be those two teams sort of neck and neck this year. You have the better QB in theory on one side versus what I view as a better roster, and who wins that battle. That's, I think it's going to be kind of like those two games are going to be two of the marquee games on the Eagles schedule for sure. And there's one on Christmas Eve that's, you know, already setting up to be a big game for them. So yeah, I think they've caught him. I think maybe they've even passed him a little bit.
Yeah. I'd love to hear that, man. And, great conversation as always, Tim, and we will catch up with you tomorrow as we continue this conversation with our training camp reports, 4 o'clock, man. Thanks so much as always. Really appreciate it.
Can't wait. Look forward to it, Devon.
Always. Thanks, man. Tim McManus joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. And as always, Comcast Business, every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. And Tim's visit on this Thursday was brought to you by
the new BetParks app. Everything you want in a digital casino and sportsbook in one sleek app. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
A lot in there. A lot in there. N'Kobe Dean. They looked at the medicals a little bit differently than some of the other teams. So he will be in the mix at some point. TJ Edwards. Tim really likes him as well. Sanders is good. We all know. Sniffing down his shoulder pads there. Down his neck. Kenneth Gainwell, as we've all really talked about, talented, the player that more fits with what Nick Sirianni wants to do with his running backs. Dual threat, can run the ball, surprised with what he did as a rookie, and can certainly catch the ball out of the backfield. The part there with the Cowboys, with our conversation today, have they caught up to him, surpassed them, even up with them? And Tim says, in his opinion, that he believes that if they have not caught them and tied things up there, they have surpassed them as far as the on paper look right now with the Dallas Cowboys. So react to anything that you feel Tim had to say, 610-632-0975, including his part on Jalen Hurts and the pressure that is, of course, there for him and an opportunity, starting with the accuracy part of things where he has the weapons. Can he now deliver with these players out there on the field? 610-632-0975. Mark, do us a favor, man. Hang on for a few minutes. We'll come back because I don't want to rush your phone call, give you all your time. On the other side, Mark Dave in Center City. Everyone else reacting to what Tim had to say. 610-632-0975. And looking at this football team once again as a squad that can make some noise in the NFC East, and we'll see how long that goes. Contract year, in a sense, for Miles Sanders. The same for Jalen Hurts. Will they respond to that type of pressure upcoming this season? And Dallas Goedert, for the first time, not having to, again, look over his shoulder and see Zach Ertz, that shadow of Zach Ertz. Have you seen that new thing on TikTok where you have the video of the guy just, like, popping up over your shoulder and everybody's reacting and swinging on the guy that's popping up? I got to show it to you. It's hilarious.
Okay.
It's like that with Zach Ertz. He does no longer have to look over and see Zach Ertz.
TikTok's like the one.
I don't have it, but it pops up on Twitter.
I don't use
it. It pops up on Twitter.
Okay.
So I'll send it to you when I see it. But that's what it is. It's no longer having to look over the shoulder anymore of Zach Ertz being there. This is his job. This is his job and his job alone to go out there and be the tight end one. I said top 10, and we know that what Joe Twitter used to say to us all the time years ago. That number one, he was the best tight end on the roster. And number two, he was already a top 7 tight end in the NFL. Tim just said he by year's end, and he might already be there, a top 5, top 3 tight end in all of football.
Well, that's the thing. I'm trying to think of the tight ends right now that I know definitively are better than him. And you'd go Kelsey, you'd go Kittle, I think Waller.
You go Andrews at least Andrews, right now for the season.
Those four, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yes.
And then after that, that's where the conversation probably starts.
And he's right there.
It's those four definitively, right? Waller, Kittle, Kelsey.
Even with guys like Hockenson, we like T.J. Hockenson, but Hockenson is not better than him. He's there in the conversation as that next tier of tight end that we talk about, T.J. Hockenson. C.J. Uzoma, who's now with the Jets, no longer with the Bengals. Not even that high as we talk right. about him. No, Gronk is gone. So,
yeah, I mean,
it's him. Zach Ertz is a starter out there in Arizona, and he's not better than
Gesicki's probably in the back end of the 10. Hockenson's right there, like you said. I like Noah Fant more than most, but I don't think he's better than Goddard.
No.
I think Dalton Schultz is going to have a very good year this year with Dallas.
But he's back into the 10, high teens.
But, you know, like I'm thinking about some of these teams. Like, it's not Ebron. It's not anybody that Jacksonville has. It's not
Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, there's not many that excite me.
No,
Troutman.
He's there.
I think he is.
He's there. All right, 610-632-0975. Mark, got you first. Everybody else, we'll get to you as well. It is 97.5 The Fanatic, the afternoon show, and NBC Sports Philadelphia. 31, the 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Devon Givens here on the afternoon show in for Tyrone Johnson. Tyler Zuli in for Jen Scordo. We thank Tim McManus for taking some time on this Thursday. Join us. We'll talk to him tomorrow at 4 o'clock. But it is 4:30, 4 o'clock hour, so we need to get to the Twitter poll update for the 4 o'clock hour, which is brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown, PA. What is the latest, man?
By the way, the question is fill in the blank. Heading into the 2022 season, the Eagles are blank. Then the Cowboys, just over 450 votes. You have a little over an hour left to get in on this. Just over 450 votes. 57% of the votes say that they are slightly better. 23% say they are definitively better. 17% say they are slightly worse. Just 3% say they are definitively worse.
Okay, so still some time to get in. Are you surprised by the results?
Not really. I thought that we would get more percentage-wise in the slightly better. Yeah. I thought it'd be up in the high 60s as opposed to the high 50s. Not surprised that very few people voted for definitively worse. Am a little surprised at almost a quarter of the votes being definitively better, because I'm not quite sure you can say that yet. I know Tim just said that if they've at least not reached them, maybe surpassed them.
97.5 The Fanatic. 97.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By The Fanatic.
But when we say they've surpassed them, it could be by a slight margin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where you and I both find ourselves, is in that slightly better category.
I agree. So again, a lot of good stuff from Tim. If you all want to jump in, 610-632-0975. Also, did you see that, are you a big Creed, Rocky person?
The movie Creed?
Yeah.
Yes. I thought you meant the band.
So my bad. The movie, yes.
The answer to that one would be definitively no.
Right. There's a spinoff.
A spinoff
on the way.
Spinoff of the spinoff?
Yes. Drago.
Okay.
It's in the works.
Eh.
Robert Lawton set to write the script for Drago.
For what? Like, what's... Are we going back in time, or is it going to be Drago's kid?
Let me see. Plot details are kept under wraps. It centers on Dolph Lundgren, who first appeared, and his son, Victor Drago, who was last seen in 2018's Creed, and Lawton's spec script, Becoming Rocky, about the making of the first Rocky film, was one of 50 scripts that won an award. And the Drago take that Lawton came up helped give him the job. So that's all it has right now. Lundgren does have some things to say. Mentioned that the film was in the works. quote, by the way. I think there's some talk about doing a whole spinoff on Drago with MGM. So you may get more of that. So that's all right now. So yeah. I guess it has to really work in order for you to see it, huh?
Yeah, I don't see any reason to go see it. Like, because it, you know, with Drago specifically, what am I going to watch? I'm going to watch, like, for him, like the older Drago. I'm watching roided up Russian soldier turned boxer with zero personality.
Roided up.
He's basically a robot.
Yes.
What am I going to watch? Like, what kind of backstory is there for me to see with a Drago story? Like, I have
just because
no interest.
Just because people have been committed to the Rocky franchise. So if you've gotten it right from Rocky to Creed, that may be, all right, what is the storyline? Now, you know, when you see a trailer and all that stuff starts to come out and you hear the actors actually speak about it, then that will draw you in too. But if you are to believe that they've done those two right and they go into this spinoff that they're going to do that one right, that's where I think they may grab the people who may be skeptical. Like,
listen, you're working with
somebody. And I'm with you. I'm like, why? Why are you doing this? You're already going to make another Creed, so why are you doing a Drago?
Right, if there's going to be another Creed, what's the difference? But you're working with somebody who you know is a huge fan of a company, of a brand that does spinoff after spinoff after spinoff. I love the Marvel stuff, right?
Yes.
But there are things in Marvel, certain Marvel things that have been made that didn't need to be made because, like, to me, this storyline is not important enough. Like Hawkeye, for example. Hawkeye did not need a TV show. Hawkeye's a boring character as he is. Like, the Clint Barton thing doesn't make any sense. Like, not that it doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't hold my interest. There are certain things that I think definitely need to be explored, you know, in future movies, like the X-Men. You know what I mean? But, like, there's certain things within franchises that just don't hold enough weight for me on a movie basis. And Drago is one of them.
Okay.
I
am with you. I don't need a Drago movie. I do not. I am with you.
Quite frankly.
It looks like it might be on the way.
Quite frankly, I mean, I know that people don't like this, but Rocky IV is not that good.
You go start in trouble
it's
again.
It's not. Like, it's not that good compared to the first two and maybe even the first three. It's just not.
You start in trouble again.
So, like, the
so,
villain,
folks, we've done this at night, and we've been getting destroyed for this for some time now. Here you go again.
Listen, I know. What'd you say yesterday?
What?
About the basketball thing. I'm just saying. Listen, I'm just saying. Not that good.
Just saying. All right. 610-632. You know not to go in that direction.
Have to do
0975. Mark and Camden back with us on the phone. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. What's up, Mark?
How you doing? Basketball religion where I'm from, Devon.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, listen. First of all, y'all got it wrong with the tight end. I love Dallas Goedert, but y'all forgot about Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts. Now, he's a young guy. We just don't know where he is yet, but we know he's good.
Nah,
we know he's talented.
He's a stud.
He is, but is he? Yeah. I mean, he may not be. He's not top five yet.
Well, he better than Dallas Goedert. That's all I'm saying.
Nah, not yet. Need to see more.
I want to make a public announcement to Jalen. If he's listening, you got a fan in Camden, New Jersey, to get all the hate, man. Us fans is looking at it wrong. We're going to lead the league in a lot of yards, man. You led it with Quez, and now you got this A.J. Brown. His strengths are slants, comebacks, and everything.
Yeah, the only problem is, as we talk about those slants and things like that, a lot of it has to come through through the middle of the field. And some of the inaccuracy that we have seen from Jalen Hurts, as Tim talked about, we need to see that improve this season.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of guys, you got to understand, you know, when you don't have talent, when you get talent, that helps a lot of things, man, when you get talented players.
Sure, of course.
He finally got a talented guy. So it's no way that I can't say this guy is going to regress. I think he's going to progress.
No, I don't think he's going to regress. No, I don't. I don't think that.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
I think that.
Not at all. Now, do you feel like they have – are they better than the Cowboys, Mark?
Yeah, definitely. The line, everybody keep talking about the special guys they got. The offensive line at Dallas is depleted. They don't have them studs no more.
Yeah, they're not who they used to be. No.
Yeah, so So, you know, the defense be running now. Hopefully, Gannon blitz and everything, we can take advantage of that. But if he sit back and them prevent zones and stuff, we're going to be in trouble.
I hear you. Mark, do you want to have a question on Family Game Day? Philly's trivia for a chance to join us at FanFest.
I can try. I'm not really a baseball guy, but I'll give it a try.
All right, give it a try. Give it a try.
All right, so we're going to go to the year 2015 at the trade deadline. The Phillies were big-time sellers. In this move, they acquired Jake Thompson, Alec Asher, Jared Eichhoff, Jorge Alfaro, Nick Williams, and Matt Harrison in a trade for two players, two big-time major league pitchers. Give me either of them.
Cliff Lee?
Not Cliff Lee, no.
You said when?
2015.
And they traded the player out.
The two players out for all those players I just mentioned.
Two players out for all of those. Wow, 2015. Cole Hamels?
That's correct.
Got all that back? Yeah, he did get all that back. Yeah.
Well, remember, it wasn't just Hamels.
Yeah, I know. But he did throw the no-hitter against the Cubs in his final game. And, Mark, thanks for the call, man. Great stuff as always. We'll qualify you hopefully another time to join us in October. You threw the no-hitter. And since then, we've been trying to get him back. Every year.
Not now.
Not trying to.
Not now.
His name keeps popping up and coming back home.
Correct.
As a member of the Phillies, but not now.
Do you know who the other one was?
Joe Blanton?
No. It was Jake Diekman.
Was he?
Yes.
Okay. I don't remember him being in that deal.
Yep.
But, okay. All right, so what's the score now? 6-0?
6-0.
6-0.
Yeah.
All right, running away. No problem. No problem at all.
Makes up for last week.
Fair enough. Tyler in Philadelphia joining us next on 97.5 and NBC Sports Philly. What's up, Tyler?
What's up?
What's going on, man?
Not so much. Can you ask the same question like you asked Mark?
Which one? Are the Eagles better than the Cowboys?
The Eagles are.
Hey, Ty, you got some stuff going on in the background, man. We can't hang on, man. We'll try to get that all situated and get you back on once that's all cleared up. 610-632-0975. Did you see the ticket cost for Bruce Springsteen's concert?
Yeah.
So now his manager is defending the ticket cost, calling it a fair price. For folks who don't know, $4,000 ticket costs. And his manager says this is a fair price.
Sure. Okay. And then I want to see like 27 hours of music.
Well, apparently he does that.
Well, he plays for like 3 hours, yeah. But here's
he's supposed
the thing.
To be done, and then he keeps going and keeps
for
going.
For $5,000, $4,900 and some change or whatever it was, you better be giving me 17 encores. I want to sit on stage.
But don't they really say he gives you a bunch of encores?
He does, yes.
Okay.
I want to play a song with him. I can't play guitar, but I want to play the song anyway. I want to set one of the fireworks off if they have a fireworks show, like a pyro show or something like that. I want to hit the button. I got to get it all. For that kind of money? I'm not paying that kind of money for anybody.
Yeah, I'm not going to see anybody for $4,000. I'm just not. But we see it so many times when the Super Bowl comes around, the NBA Finals, World Series tickets. We see it all the time. Is this really uncommon for him to say that this is a fair price?
For a concert? Yeah, I think it is.
Well, it's Bruce.
I think a game is different.
It's Bruce.
I don't care if
What's the difference with one game?
I don't care if it's the Beatles reincarnate.
What's the difference with one game versus one show?
The difference between one game and one show would be if your team is invested, right? Because here's the thing. The average fan, right? Not if you've got a lot of money, but the average fan is only going to go to those kind of games if your team is there, right? If your team's playing in the
Super
Bowl,
that's what I mean. It's your team. He's your guy. But you're going to pay that type of money to go see him.
The fandom of an artist or a musician or a band, I don't know if it can be matched of that of a sports team.
But there are some who love the musician just as much as we may love the sports team. Could care less about sports and wouldn't dare spend that kind of money where there are people who live in this type of world.
Listen,
where they want to spend that type of money for that same experience.
Yeah, I'm not saying that there's not people, like, I'm not saying that everybody's sports oriented, right? Like, the first thing that comes to their head is, I want to buy a sports ticket. There are people that would rather spend that kind of money on music or travel or whatever. But I can't.
Well, travel, yeah. I mean,
I can't get the connection. And you know I'm a big music guy, right?
Yes,
but I can't get the connection between any artist that I love, any artist in any genre of all time. The connection that's there isn't the same as a connection with a sports team. And it doesn't necessarily just have to be for me. I think that connection doesn't exist. I'm guessing it doesn't exist on that level to what your sports team does.
Seems like there are, because there are people who will lay this down. Drop 4K.
No chance.
For Bruce Springsteen's show that will go 17 encores, as you talked about. You may not sit on the stage with him, but you'll get the 17 encores. 610-632-0975. Keep it going with Dave and Drew when we get back right here on the phones. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Giving away FanFest tickets for anybody who gets an answer correct with Philly's trivia. So far, no dice on this one. So,
listen, I got some harder ones too.
I'm sure you do.
These are, listen, I'm not going to say they're easy because you know, it's been years, and right?
You still have to know. Yeah,
you still got to know the team. So if you're not a baseball fan, I totally get it. But we got some like this one for a second. Here you go. I'll just give you one off the top of my head.
All right.
November 14th of 2015, the Phillies traded Sam McWilliams to the Arizona Diamondbacks for what pitcher?
And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a big-time name.
Well, you're right, exactly.
Right, so,
because Sam McWilliams is not a big-time name by any means.
No. So I don't remember.
Guy started an opening day for them.
For the Phillies?
These were some lean Phillies years.
2015?
I think he started
16, 17?
Either 16 or 17. I forget which one it was.
Who was it?
Jeremy Hellickson.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
See, that's what I mean. Those are some of the hard ones.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, nonetheless, crushing the field.
You're doing pretty well.
Crushing the field. Yeah. And again, if you do get an answer correctly, we will love to welcome you to FanFest Saturday, October 1st from 1 to 5 at Xfinity Live. You must be 21 to enter. Stay tuned to The Fanatic for updates on special guests, events, and all the fun for that day. And it is brought to you by
FanDuel Sportsbook, our presenting sponsor once again. Happy to welcome them back.
No doubt about it. Let's go to Drew in Phoenix, then we'll get to Dave in Center City. Drew, how you doing? Welcome to 97.5 and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm so used to saying good evening, but good afternoon this time around.
Yeah, how about that, man?
I haven't talked to you in a while. I hope you guys are doing well.
Thank you.
First things first, Eagles. What I've seen based on camp already, it looks pretty decent. My only concern, it's a small concern, is Jason Kelce. He's getting up there. He's getting up there. It's his last year before he retires. Do you have any kind of concern at all for him because he's so, you know, not old, but he's getting older as the lineman on the front line's getting younger?
No, not yet. And why I answer it that way is because of the depth that they do have as well, from Landon Dickerson on down, with so many guys that can play the center position in the event that they do have to pivot from him, simply because of what you're talking about, whether it be just lack of performance or when we're talking about, you know, some injury that may happen, which we hope does not happen. But I don't have a concern. And let's not forget about Cam Jurgens, who they also drafted this year as well. So, no, I'm not worried.
Correct. But I also, know that Jason Kelce has a lot more experience at the center position than the other players do. So
on this level, yes.
Yes. He has a lot more knowledge how to play that better than all the rest. That's my only concern as well, is that if he does need to be, replaced, we're not going to have as much experience at the center position to protect Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, but if it did happen in that way, I think they have enough across the line where even if he has to be replaced with that, you know, the lack of experience, once again, they're just so talented. We see so many centers drafted first, second round, and they are inserted into the starting lineup right away and have success right away. So, again, not concerned. I'm not worried about it. What do you think about the spinoff of the movie that we talked about?
Well, I mean, I like spinoffs. I don't think Rocky needs one. I think, in my opinion, the best spinoff of movies that have ever come to light is Star Wars. I think all of the spinoff of Star Wars have been phenomenal. You know, Han Solo, you got, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi that just came out. You know, so I think Star Wars really takes the top honors when it comes to the best spinoffs. Tyler, I don't know what your opinion on that is, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, man, and I'll get allow Tyler to give his thoughts on that one. Let's give you a question, Drew. Phillies trivia.
Well, I'm already coming to.
Yeah, it's all right. You can still answer the question. Have a little fun.
No,
maybe.
No, because I don't want to embarrass myself. No way. I am not a baseball fan like you guys
are. Oh, man.
In front of you already, so.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Thanks for the call, Drew. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. What do you make of his thoughts on the Star Wars?
That's phenomenal. He's like, you know what? Nah, I'm good. I'm coming to FanFest. I'm not making a... Not going to be a fool on your radio and TV show.
That's hilarious.
That's incredible. I disagree with them to an extent. I think some of it's been very good. I agree. I thought Kenobi was fantastic. Some of it's not. It's just really not good in my opinion. But listen, if you like it, that's good for you. Like I said, I always say, I'm not going to gatekeep fandom. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to tell you, oh, you like this? Wow, you're not. You don't know any. You know what I mean? Like that would be. It's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I think some of it was really good and some of it was really not.
And you know I don't watch the Star Wars
right.
stuff.
Well, and at this point, yeah. talking about some of those spinoffs, if you don't watch the movies, you would be... It wouldn't make any sense to you anyway. Because it's all built... A lot of it's backstory building now. You know what I mean? Like, so they have these ideas, these things that happen in the movies, and now they're starting to.
And again, I haven't seen Star Wars since the original Star Wars
right.
stuff. No interest. So I haven't seen them.
Okay.
I just don't have any interest.
So. Again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, wow, you're so wrong. You're dumb. You know what I mean? Like it's.
Am I missing out?
In totality, probably not.
No? All right.
I mean, like again, there's some good stuff. There's some really bad stuff. So probably not.
Okay. All right. You got it. Well, listen, Dave, we don't want to rush your phone call, man. Hang on. We'll get to you first when we come back. And then Tyler wanted to bring something up with the NBA that he wanted to throw at us, and I also had a question from the NBA that carried over from yesterday that I wanted to throw at Tyler and others as well. 610-632-0975 is the afternoon show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Fanatic Sports.
NBC Sports Philadelphia. We'll be back tomorrow. Our final show. Ty, final show. Tomorrow after a two-week run here.
We're done already?
It's been fun, man.
Has been fun
hanging out. Going back and forth, some, you know, Booney giving us some stuff and callers and all. It's been fun, man. It's been a blast. We appreciate everybody. And the 5 o'clock hour is brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big summer sales event. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. All right, before we get to Tyler's thing, let's go to Dave in Center City and then we'll pivot to the part that you wanted to get into, man. Let's go to Dave next on 97.5 and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Dave, what's going on?
Gentlemen, always a pleasure. I want to get to this Pirates Philly series, but the Eagles talk seems to have trumped that. I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen this year. I think it's going to be a replication of Carson Wentz and Dougie Pete's second year. I think the Eagles are going to be extremely difficult to beat. I think that Jalen Hurts is going to have that sophomore season like Carson. And I do believe that they will beat the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl. But now here is my question to you. Are you okay, you know, God forbid, if Hurts gets hurt? Are you okay with Minshew at the controls or no?
How long are we talking? Are we talking about he's done for the season type of thing or game here, game there?
Nah, I'm saying substantial time, 4 weeks left.
Not particularly. I mean, I know he's a decent backup, but obviously, like most, I wouldn't like to go in that direction.
I got you. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
The series, since PNC Park was built, the Phillies have an atrocious win-loss record there. The Pirates are a very schizophrenic team. Six times they have had position players come in and clean up. But when they beat you 2-1, 3-2. This is, like every series, this is key. This is a litmus test for the Phillies. What do you guys have them doing in this four-game set?
Hopefully winning the series, taking at least, you know, taking three and making sure they do their part against a team that we talk about them being bad, but they're in front of them. So do what they need to do and win three of four, if not sweeping the series, of course, which we would all like, but just win the series. That's what we think they're going to do. And tonight they have a great chance of starting off that way with Zach Wheeler and hopefully an opportunity for them to do so.
Appreciate it, Dan.
You got it, man. Appreciate it, Dave. Thank you.
I think
your thoughts.
I think they're going to, in this four-game set, I think they're going to split.
Okay.
I think they're going to split two games. I think they win tonight. I just think Wheeler is going to overpower. As Dave's correct, they have a terrible record at PNC, and they don't look good. When they lose those games, they don't look good doing it. But I think they're going to split this series. I think they are going to win tonight. I think Quintana beats them on Friday night. Suarez comes back and gets you a win on Saturday. And then I think Sunday, Aaron Nola gets one of those tough loss, you know, hard luck losses. You know what I mean? The 2-1, like Dave was pointing out. In some, like, that's just a guess.
One of those, why can't they score for Aaron Nola?
Right, but I think in this series, like that was just me playing, you know, looking at it four games ahead. Anything could happen. But I think in this series, you're going to see them split.
Okay. All right. And you also had a question.
Yes.
Something you wanted to share with us. And what is that along the NBA
so
side?
It was an interesting piece that I was reading on The Athletic. And all the Athletic staff writers for the NBA wrote up their, you know, little blurb on their team. And the piece was grading the team's off seasons that they've had so far. Now, I want you to keep in mind that the grades that were given out, there were a couple of incomplete grades given out. There was one C. One team was graded in the Cs, and everybody else had a B minus or better. So I'm not sure I can take a ton away from that other than everybody feeling like, wow, this team had a really good offseason. Like every team and every writer and every fan base seems to feel.
Well, I guess it's based on
year.
Who the writer is and how you feel about how the writer is based on their work and saying, okay, this writer is legit, and so I'll take this grade.
And it's not every writer. Like John Hollinger, for example, has multiple write-ups in this, right?
Mm-hmm. But national guy.
Yes. So John Hollinger, by the way, is the only one to give a team a C grade. Now, before I get to the Sixers point.
Who was the C?
That's what I was going to ask you. Who do you think it was?
A C grade. East or West?
East.
Milwaukee.
No.
Certainly isn't Brooklyn.
Brooklyn got an incomplete.
New York.
Nope.
Who?
The Miami Heat.
Okay.
So John Hollinger writes up that they get a C. He goes, quote, is there a starting power forward out there? Obviously losing PJ Tucker to the Sixers hurt them. But let's get to the Sixers grade for a second. The Sixers, which was written up by Rich Hoffman, of course, he gave them an A minus.
Fine with that.
Now let me read you
And Rich is Rich, so
let me read you his write-up real quick. Quote, no, the Sixers didn't make the splashiest moves this offseason, but they did as well as I could have imagined considering the limited resources available. James Harden took a major pay cut in 22-23, and he's now reunited with both PJ Tucker and Daniel House because of it. The Sixers were also able to turn Danny Green's contract and 23 into DeAnthony Melton. All three acquisitions addressed their biggest roster issue, wing defense and depth. There might be more to come, and there's still questions of whether it's enough to get over the hump, but this has been a quietly rock-solid offseason for Philly.
I agree with it. When we did this after the main moves that they've done, which they really haven't done anything else since, I gave them an A. Plus, I think I did, for the job that they've done. They addressed everything, and they can still go out there and add a big man. We've talked about that with you and Booney. As well, they could go out there and get another shooter just to add some more depth. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But what we do know is they've gotten better. And I think
I think they've
hit on everything thus far this offseason, and I don't have anything to complain about. Yes, shooting, sure, but for what P.J. Tucker does as a shooter, he's good. Daniel House shooting a high 38-39% from beyond the three-point line. I'm with that. De'Anthony Melton is an improved shooter. They have versatility. They have the defense, the ability to hit the wings the way that we've wanted them to. I am perfectly fine with how they've gone about it. I don't care about the Houston East stuff. I do not care about that. What I do care about is when I have watched those players in the past in a different uniform, whether it's Houston, in James Harden's case, Brooklyn or Houston, Daniel House, Houston, Utah, P.J. Tucker, Houston, Milwaukee, and Miami, and De'Anthony Melton with the Memphis Grizzlies, I've liked that player. So for them to be able to slip on that Sixers uniform and that Sixers jersey, I like the fact that they can fit in to what the Sixers already have, helping maybe to even better the culture of how they go about things. P.J. Tucker is a champion, which there aren't any on the Sixers roster outside of Danny Green at the time. So bringing in another guy who has a championship pedigree and experience in big games, I am good with that. I am absolutely good with that. So I agree with the A grade that Rich gives the Sixers for their offseason, and they can tweak a little bit and go out there and get a veteran, whether it's Carmelo Anthony, DeMarcus Cousins, Markieff Morris, whoever it might be, they can go out there and do those types of things. So I like it.
I'm going to say two things here, because the first thing I'm about to say, you're going to say, people are going to say, wow, you're being overly pessimistic. I do not give the Sixers an A grade for the offseason. Mm-hmm. The reason as to why I don't give the Sixers an A grade for the offseason is because of the fact that I think in order to get an A, you need to make a substantial move one way or the other, meaning you either need to bring in a star caliber player or you need to alleviate yourself of bad cap constructs or be a young team with a really, really good draft. And the Sixers didn't do any of that per se. With all of that being said, I've said this multiple times, the Sixers had a good offseason. They might have even had a very good offseason. They got better. There's no question about it. The Sixers are a better team today and when free agency began and when the draft happened than they were last season. No doubt about it. Their depth is stronger. I trust more guys off the bench. I feel like they are a more complete team. But I don't think their moves were strong enough, and this is going to sound like I'm really splitting hairs, but I don't think their moves were strong enough to give them an A grade, but I think that a B plus is totally fine. And you're going to say, B plus, A minus, what the heck's the difference? It just feels like when I'm looking at it optically, it feels better to say a B plus. For me, I feel more comfortable saying B plus than I do A minus.
Well, for your criteria, then I would go with the fact that whether the team did it or not, they were able to convince, however they did, James Harden to take less money.
Huge.
So
absolutely
for them
huge.
To do that, I think that at least hearing you lay it out kind of meets the criteria of what you're talking about because of the star player doing that to allow the other moves to happen and take place for them to be able to be in the position that they are. So, I mean, I would say just jump it up to an A minus if that's the case because he did, as a star, while they may not have brought in that star or shipped out that star, the star took less money, which enabled them to go out there and do the other parts to help put together the roster.
Right. So, but my thing is, like, what I'm talking about the actual return. Like, is James Harden an A player now?
I think he should be.
Can be. Was he an A player in the playoffs?
No, he was not.
Right. So the return, the move, the money, that brings it all up for a player that wasn't an A player, gets you close, right? And again, I feel like I'm splitting hairs by saying it was a B plus.
I think you are.
But I look at the A moves. Re-signing Nikola Jokic is an A move. I don't even think, like the person who wrote up the Minnesota Timberwolves gave them an A. I don't think that's an A move.
For Gobert?
Rudy Gobert is not worth 4 first round picks.
No.
I don't believe him to be. I don't know how many teams in the NBA this offseason had slam dunk home run offseasons. Truly, I don't. Like, there was no bringing in LeBron. There was no bringing in you know, making a trade for...
Yeah, because I just don't think that every offseason, based on where you are as a team, as an organization, calls for that star player
correct.
To reach that criteria, which is why, again, an A can be based on whatever they needed to do to improve their team based on their weaknesses from that offseason, or to just simply upgrade from the good stuff that they had to make it even greater to be put in that spot. That's why I would give them the A grade, because of that. Every offseason is different for every organization.
I agree, and that's why I was saying there can be teams, you know, young teams who had a great draft, like perhaps Oklahoma City or Orlando getting the number one overall pick, Detroit. Like, there are young teams that can have good off seasons to get the A, and that doesn't mean it's facilitated only by bringing in a superstar. Like, for example, you mentioned Detroit. Detroit got an A grade, I think, on this. They got an A minus.
They should,
because of freeing up cap space. And
they moved Jeremy Grant.
Moving
and they
Jeremy
drafted
Grant.
Ivy, who was there for him, and they got Jalen Duren as
right.
well.
So what I'm saying is, it doesn't have to be the formula of bringing a star player. It doesn't have to be the formula of retaining your max level player. But I think for the Sixers' sake, the difference of like three grade points. Right, we're talking about an A minus is a 90 and a B plus is an 88. And if this bug doesn't stop flying around me, I'm going to have problems.
I didn't know there was a bug in
however,
there.
However, like, again, an 88 and a 90, they're right there, but they are technically different letter grades. And that's why I feel like that's where I'm at this point.
Splitting hairs.
It's splitting hairs.
Splitting hairs. But the realist
fan... But the
fan,
A just optically looks better than the B+.
Sure, it does. Yeah, but a B+ is a darn good offseason.
It's a good grade, right.
Yeah. But the realist fan on Twitter says, Tyler Zuli, how dare you speak ill of a fantastically horrible junk food movie like Rocky IV. Who doesn't want to see Rocky outrun KGB agents in the snow or train old school with rocks in a net in an old barn? What are you, a heathen?
Listen, you just laid it out there. It's not a good movie. It's not. Like, if you want to say you have fun watching it, I can totally get down with that. I totally understand it. But I can't sit here and tell you it's a good movie. It is a bad movie. The speech at the end alone is so cringeworthy, it's bad.
Yeah. Also, John, Sloop J232, Tyler is spot on.
Thank you.
Rocky IV is not a good movie. It's a stupid script filled with nothing but montages.
That's what I'm saying.
And all Rocky, and also Rocky, not Drago, got rid of Apollo. The movie stinks.
He should have thrown the towel in. There's no doubt about it.
And let me see. Anthony DeFilippo, too. Tyler, you're right. I'm a huge music guy and wouldn't pay 4 G's for anyone. I hear what you're saying, but some bands have the connections of sports teams. My favorite band, Pearl Jam, perfect example. They have a real relationship with the fans, and they give so much. So, there you go.
Okay, but I think my first statement holds true still.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's anybody that is worth, paying thousands of dollars for.
Thousands. 4,000, folks. 4,000 if you're looking for the number that we were talking about. Another NBA thing that I had that we were supposed to talk about yesterday, just briefly because it was brought up. I don't remember where it was, but someone asked Dwight Howard if he was a Hall of Famer. And I was like, what? Why are we doing this again? Why are you asking this man this question one more time? Where, yes, he's a Hall of Famer. We know he's a Hall of Famer. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Why are we asking him this question? I saw him, I think it was the last episode of the podcast with Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles, and they also talked about him not being on the NBA Top 75, which was ridiculous. And they bring up now in this particular one of where he is not, asking him, is he a Hall of Famer? Of course he's a Hall of Famer. Why do we keep asking him this? Why do we keep bringing this back as if we don't know that the man is a Hall of Famer? Our first ballot
should have been in the top 100, too.
And should have been in the top 75.
Top 75, sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah, should have been in the top 75.
If he's not in the top 100,
he will be.
The writer's got something out to get him.
He better be.
Because at that point, you're adding 25 extra players.
25 years from now, is he a top 100 player?
I mean, I would think so. Like, there's going to be guys that are not in the top 75 that are going to be in the top 100, right? like that are playing currently.
Yeah, but then we have 25 years of whoever's going to do it from now to then.
That's what I mean. So like
Joel Embiid, and as we mentioned, Joel Embiid should be in that next group.
Like if he plays the way that he did last year in the beginning of his career, throughout the stretch of his career, Ja Morant's probably going to be in that category. You know, so it's not a surefire lock that he's in 25 years a top 100 player, but I don't know if there's guys in the top 75 now that are top 75 players anymore.
Right. No, don't know. But I always find that to be interesting that this keeps coming up where we don't know. What, because he's a free agent and he said that he would be willing to play with the Brooklyn Nets? Is that why this is coming up? Because we know he's a Hall of Famer.
And here's the thing, too. Regardless if you think he is or not, you and I both agree that we believe that he's a Hall of Famer. You know, what was he? Back-to-back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah. MVP award, took the Orlando Magic to the finals. Like, he's got a Hall of Fame career. But even if you don't think he's a Hall of Famer, what is the guy supposed to say? Do you think you're a Hall of Famer? Nah. I'm all right. But I've done
okay.
I've been an okay player, but okay. Like, there's guys that are better than me. What's he supposed to say? Of course he's going to say yes.
The man is a Hall of Famer.
He's absolutely a Hall of Famer.
And if Joel Embiid keeps going in the
he should be a Hall of Famer too.
He is probably going to be a Hall of Famer as well. Now, the international stuff, he doesn't have that because of the...
Not yet.
Because of not being able to play in the Olympics yet, but now that he has that dual citizenship...
French citizenship.
Yes.
Might change things.
And who knows, a bronze, a silver, a gold for Joel Embiid. That will just add to his resume. But as far as the NBA goes, 5-time All-Star already, multiple-time All-NBA player, 2-time All-Defensive player... He is, you know, he's going to be one of those players that we look to on that next list. That's, well, that for the 100, but as far as the Hall of Fame goes, yes. And I know a lot of people would not bring Dwight Howard back here to Philadelphia.
Why?
Because a lot of people are still frustrated with those things like...
the technicals?
The technicals.
I get it.
The fact that offensively, he just doesn't do anything for them, and defensively... In the playoffs, they couldn't play him as much as they would have liked against the Atlanta team. And Washington wasn't so much. It was really Atlanta where he couldn't stay on the floor.
Because he couldn't stay with John Collins.
John Collins played some backup 5 minutes in a Okongwu.
Correct.
He really got off in that series. And that was a lot of those minutes against him and some against Joel Embiid where... And Yeke Okwan, who really had a good series against the 76ers. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that because we keep seeing stuff pop up. I know it's the summertime. I know it's a little different. But can we stop with the Dwight Howard Hall of Fame?
Well, you and I did our top 20, our next 25.
The next 25.
Yeah, and I think we agreed on a lot of them. I have Dwight Howard in there.
So do I.
I think that it's a lock. Or he should be in there.
Mm-hmm. So do I. He's in there. I don't think there's a question. It should be, and it's just a matter of will they put him in there, and we know he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. All right, 610-632-0975. The final segment we'll get to in the 45 around that area will be the leftovers with Tyler. On the other side, we have to come back and also talk about one more thing, which is top running backs in the NFL. Is Miles Sanders in that mix? We just talked to Tim McManus. We'll let you know what a national person had to say about the top running backs in the NFL and where does Miles Sanders fit into that conversation. It's the afternoon show, 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. 29 final segment here on the afternoon show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Devon Givens with you. Tyler Zuli here as well. We have the leftovers here shortly in the next segment and the 5 o'clock Twitter poll. We have to get the final Twitter poll update here during the show. And the final poll numbers are powered by Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown, PA. Man, it's almost time before you crack open a cold one and obsessively manicure your lawn. Schedule mower maintenance at poweredbymoyer.com. All right, Ty, that's it. Gotta get these numbers in.
Let's do it.
See where the folks finish things off.
All right, you got 10 minutes left to vote on this thing because, again, I'll figure this out at some point, how to do math, but right now it's clearly not my strong suit. But 480 votes on this one so far. The question is, fill in the blank, heading into the 2022 season, the Eagles are blank than the Cowboys. 58% say they are slightly better. 23% say they're definitively better. 16% say they are slightly worse. Just 3% believe they are definitively worse.
Okay. All right, man. Well, look, we have plenty of time throughout the season on paper, you know, and then, of course, once we finally
on paper
have a chance.
That phrase again.
While we finally have a chance to see everyone out there, we have plenty of time to continue to talk about this team and where they are, where they will be, all of that good stuff. I saw this a little bit earlier before the show, and I thought it was interesting because of the running back situation where we are here, where we look at, like, we see young running backs in the league. Najee Harris, big fan of him. We both were out of Alabama. Really good season as the Steelers running back. And he's going to have a big workload again because Juju Schuster is gone. They made some changes there. And yes, Chase Claypool is still there as a wide receiver. New quarterback. He's going to be the guy. It looks like Najee Harris there in Pittsburgh. So he's going to be good. You look at some of the other different types of backs that you have, and you fall in love from afar and say, man, especially when we do fantasy, we all do it, and we look at them and we say, man, that guy's good, man. You know, where now what? What do you do here? What's going to happen with the Philadelphia Eagles and Miles Sanders? So Chris Sims, whatever you think of him, he does this quarterback thing and drives a lot of people nuts. But he put out a list of 6 running backs in the NFL and ranked them from 6 to 1 that we really saw that stood out, that I saw stood out. And I wanted to throw these at you, Tyler, and just get your thoughts and see where the local guy falls into that category as a running back in the NFL. So number 6, he starts with Christian McCaffrey. Do you think that's a fair number for one player in this case that many believe over the last couple of seasons, when it comes to fantasy, I know, but the best running back in the NFL because of what he's able to do on the ground, but most importantly as a receiver out of the backfield?
Yes, I think it is. It's a speculative grade, I think. I think that it's an understanding of him staying healthy. We don't know if that's the case. We don't know if he's going to stay healthy or not, but I think it's a fair grade when you play into the speculation of him playing well with the fact that he's missed a substantial amount of time over the last 2 seasons. I think that that's a fair grade at this point. There was a time where we would say he was the best or, you know, one of the 2 best or whatever the case may be. But I think that that's a pretty solid spot for him to be right in that 6-7 range.
6-7 with the injury?
Yeah.
All that.
The only other person knowing, because here's the thing, I know the list. The only other person that I would put in that spot that's not on the list, that's not in the top 6, would be Austin Eckler.
In the top 6?
In the top 6. Yes.
Okay. All right. And at 5.
Okay.
What do you think?
And again, I say I know the list. I know the people on the list. I don't remember the order. My guess at 5 would be... it's not Jonathan Taylor. There's definitely not Jonathan Taylor.
No. I'll just say that...
I'm going to say Dalvin Cook.
Cook is ahead of him.
Dalvin Cook is ahead of him.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll get this. So I'm not even going to give it to you because you'll get this. No, I'm saying you'll get it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to go around the league.
Yeah.
Trying to do it like very, very quickly in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Alvin Kamara.
No.
Maybe I don't know the list then. Maybe we're looking at 2 different lists.
Joe Mixon.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Joe Mixon at number 5.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with that. I mean, he had a really good year last year. Obviously, last year felt like, it's not the case, but last year felt like it was the first time he was free of any, you know, running back handcuff, whether it be, you know, Hill or Bernard or whomever it was in the backfield prior. It feels like it was the first time that he was, and I know, again, it's not true.
And he thrived. Speaking,
but it was the first time he, it's the first time he thrived in that spot.
With the new contract, by the way.
Correct.
Yep, absolutely. Number 4, you mentioned him, Dalvin Cook.
I like Dalvin Cook a lot. I'm
so
a big Dalvin Cook, you know, fan as a running back. I think from a fantasy perspective, if you're going to draft Dalvin Cook, you better make sure you get Alexander Mattison too, just because of the injury concerns there too.
We've seen him.
When Dalvin Cook is on the field, I believe that he is the highest rated fantasy player per touch on the field. He's not a world-class pass catcher by any means, but he is a great running back.
A great running back, Dalvin Cook is. I mean, the guy is just... He's just one of those guys, as you talked about with the injury and all that stuff. You look at him, you're like, man, I wish this guy could just stay. You don't even root for the Vikings, but the talent that's there, you're just like, all right, this guy deserves to be that one.
He can play.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Number three, it's not Miles Sanders.
You sure about that? Really?
All right, so you haven't heard Miles Sanders' name. So if I would say to you, Miles Sanders, where is he in the NFL? Teens or 20s?
Off the top, just going off the top of my head.
Yeah, and this is without any list that we have here. Just asking you.
Probably 20s.
I would agree with you.
I think probably 20s.
I would agree with you.
I'm just trying to really quickly like go around the league. I mean, in the NFC East, I'm taking Barkley, even with the injuries. I'm taking Zeke.
Are you taking Tony Pollard?
No, I don't think so.
But you had to think about it.
I do have to think about
it. Just thought about it.
Washington,
Antonio Gibson?
I don't even know if Antonio Gibson's going to be the starter there.
I know.
They seem to really like Brian Robinson.
Right.
So two in the East.
Okay.
Cook for sure. Aaron Jones for sure.
Swift.
DeAndre Swift for sure. Montgomery.
Might.
Up in the air.
Might.
So that gives us five.
Uh-huh.
The West.
Arizona Connor.
I think he's better than James Connor.
I agree. Akers with the Rams.
I would take Akers.
Healthy.
Healthy, I'm taking Akers.
49ers, they just have a bunch of guys.
I think that I'd taken Sanders over Mitchell for now.
Yeah.
But if Mitchell has another good season, I mean, well, and here's the thing. Can I include Debo as the running back?
You cannot.
Because I'll take Debo.
He doesn't want to be paid like
fine.
One, so no.
Then I'll say it's Mitchell and I'll take Sanders.
Seattle, Carson just retired.
It's Rashad Penny.
Yeah.
I'm taking Sanders.
And we already mentioned Eckler in the West.
We
got
to do the South still, too.
McCaffrey, yes. Saints, Kamara, yes. Tampa.
We don't know what the suspension is, but.
But we're talking about the player.
Right.
Yeah,
Tampa. Fournette, probably, if he comes in shape.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, probably.
Yep.
And then.
Falcons.
Cordarrelle Patterson.
More dynamic is Patterson.
Correct.
But as a running back, though, I'm taking Sanders.
Sanders is a running back. As a player, Patterson.
Sanders. As a player, yes.
As a player, Patterson. Yeah, Sanders is a running back.
Yep.
But, I mean, that gives you probably half the – that's just half the NFC.
And he's in the teens at that point. So it's tough for him to pass any of those others in the AFC because there are some there that are really, really good with the Jets guys that they have there. We already met Najee Harris. I'm taking him over Sanders. And number two, I'm taking his backup over Sanders. Right? I'm taking Kareem Hunt over Sanders. And number two is Nick Chubb.
Yeah, Nick Chubb to me is the second best running back in football. I think that he gets undervalued. Somebody brought up fantasy football. Was it Tim that brought it up or was it a caller?
Tim brought it up.
The fantasy football kind of sways opinions on people. And Nick Chubb is not a pass catcher. Like an Eckler is, like a McCaffrey is. So I think that a lot of people look at him and go, yeah, he's a running back, and he's got Kareem Hunt behind him. So it's kind of one of those, you know, does he take away from Nick Chubb? But when it comes to truly being simply a runner, it's Nick Chubb for me is two, I think.
And then, of course,
it's got to be Jonathan Taylor, number one.
I mean, he had one back in the league.
An unbelievable season last year.
500 more yards than the second.
Now, and granted,
rusher in the NFL, Derrick Henry missed games.
He was that guy until he got hurt.
Yes.
But again, it's a high usage thing. And I can't discredit a running back for getting high usage. Like, I can't discredit a quarterback who throws for 4,000 yards because he threw the ball 500 times. It's just the nature of their offense. I can't discredit Derrick Henry for being that guy. But I think that if I'm going to take a player at this point, especially with injuries in the conversation, and I do expect Derrick Henry to bounce back, I think I'm taking Jonathan Taylor.
All right. And as far as the fantasy goes, as you mentioned, I know a lot of people are going to take Jonathan Taylor one.
He should probably be your consensus number one pick, unless you're in a league where quarterback play is valued the same as everything else.
Wide receiver?
No, I'm saying it. if you get six for a touchdown and yardage adds up the same, then you're taking a quarterback. But I think if you're in a regular league, a PPR league, you're probably taking Jonathan Taylor.
Wait a minute, who's that quarterback? Josh Allen?
Josh Allen will be the number one quarterback off boards this year.
Yep. So that was Chris Sims' top six running back list.
And I think he's put out some stupid things in the past.
This was good.
He's right on this one.
This was absolutely good. No problems whatsoever. And Miles Sanders, no, is not in there. Don't forget, man, the Phils. Well, on the other side, before we get to the leftovers, we got to put out the list We got to give out the lineup. I know you've been doing it during the update.
Yeah, giving a little bit during the update.
But we need to give out the lineup on the other side as we get ready for a four-game series with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Final segment on the other side will be the leftovers with Tyler Zuli, and then we will hand things over to D-Lineham on the radio side to hang out with you tonight. No Cousins Corner, again, because Anthony's on vacation, so D-Lineham tonight from 6 to 10. All right, on the other side, we will get to the leftovers with Tyler Zuli as we hang out with you for one final segment on this Thursday on both 94 games set on the road. Kyle Schwarber leading off back again in the leadoff spot. Rhys Hoskins in the two-hole, and Alec Bohm, he will be in three-spot, moved up from the bottom of the lineup to the third hole there, still third base. And Derek Hall will be hitting cleanup tonight for the Phillies. Nick Castellanos at 5, Bryson Stott, 6, Didi Gregorius, 7. As you said, Tyler, a little bit earlier, going with some lefties there. Justin Verlaine in center field, he will be batting 8th. And Stubbs, he's batting 9th. Tonight for the Phillies with JT Realmuto with the night off. Zach Wheeler is on the mound as they again begin a four-game set against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So,
all right, let's roll.
Hopefully this one works. Hopefully this one works. Get off to a good start tonight.
That's all I can ask for. One at a time, right?
That's right. This is 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, where you can watch the game beginning at 7 o'clock, 7:05. Of course, first pitch. Let's get to the leftovers.
All right, let's do it. How about this? We talk about contracting verbiage, if you will, with Kyler Murray,
Kyler
right?
Kyler Murray, yeah.
Zion Williamson apparently is the latest in his contract
extension. You knew this was coming.
Contract extension requires his weight and body fat percentage. So you take his pounds and his body fat percentage to add up to less than 295. Failure to meet this could reduce his guaranteed money.
So get to 294 and he's good.
Between the two.
Between the two.
Yeah, not just weight.
That's a big fella.
So whatever his body fat percentage is, I don't know what it is off the top of the head, but
it's a big dude, man. And so he has to get that under control.
You're probably looking at, I mean, he's probably going to have to be weight-wise closer in the 270s.
Yes.
Just to be careful.
Yeah, and look, we've heard so many times with Charles Barkley has talked about it. He has to get his body right. And we've seen so many people look at him and speculate, how can you give him this contract extension with his body and his injury and all that stuff? But you had to do it.
How can you not is the question.
You had to do it. So now that he is there with it, what's he going to do? I mean, we don't know. We've only seen him one way, from Duke, from high school to Duke to now in the pros. This is how we've seen him. Can he get that under control? I tell you what, man. You know, Miami always talks about that's a big thing with them, with the Miami culture and the Heat culture and all that stuff. He really has to get that under control in order for him to remain in the NBA and be successful and not have injuries to his knees and such.
All right, let's go to the NFL next. Speaking of knee injuries, you teed that one up nicely. Not nicely, because this is bad news for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. His starting center, Ryan Jensen, carted off the field during today's training camp with a left knee injury. Todd Bowles didn't want to speculate. He said, all I know right now is that he went down with a knee. We'll have to see when we go inside, going inside and going forward and go from there. So they don't know the severity of the injury. They said they're going to continue to do tests in the next couple of days. But it seems like Ryan Jensen, the 31-year-old, is going to be out for at least an extended amount of training camp, if not further. Here's the issue for the Buccaneers. They go from having the line being a strength to being something that is going to be very, very thin, because Jensen is out and they lose Ali Marpet to retirement, and Alex Kappa, their right guard, signed with the Cincinnati Bengals in the offseason. So they've now lost potentially three starting offensive linemen in the span of the last 6 months.
Well, now what do they do? This is where great organizations and great teams just plug and play and figure it out. We saw so many years with Andy Reid and the offensive line and how much they invested into both sides of the line of scrimmage. Let's see how good Tampa is.
Can I interest you in one Andre Dillard? I know he doesn't play guard, but...
Yeah, maybe
can I give you some swing play?
Well, you have a few guys here. As we talk about Amalu...
And, whoever doesn't win the guard spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Driscoll.
Yep, Amalu, Driscoll. You got Juergens there as a young player. See what they do.
Something that I wasn't sure
Andre
was going to happen, but...
Can I interest you in Andre Dillard?
Yeah, can I interest you in an Andre Dillard? Something I wasn't sure was going to happen, but the New York Rangers have officially agreed to bring back forward Kaapo Kakko on a two-year deal.
Kaapo.
Worth $4.2 million. Now, you know he was the number two overall pick in the 2019 draft. Underperformed a little bit in his 43 games this last season. Scored just 7 goals and had 11 assists. He was a plus 9. He did have 2 goals and 3 assists in 19 games in the final, or in the playoffs, excuse me, as the Rangers went to the Eastern Conference Finals. But throughout his career, just 26 goals and 32 assists, totaling 58 points in 157 games in his NHL career.
Wow.
Little underwhelming. I know not a lot of Rangers fans are super excited about his play.
Quite a bit underwhelming. Quite a bit underwhelming. Okay.
All right, I got to ask you this question. I saw this. There's an Instagram account called What is New York? And it goes around and posts pictures of things that they see across the city of New York. And this one caught my attention. I want to know how you feel about it.
Okay.
There's a store, and it looks, I can't see the sign totally, but it looks like it's called Copper and Plaid. They put up 2 Post-it notes. Closing at 5 Saturday. This happened last week.
On the door?
Yes, on the door.
Okay.
Closing at 5 Saturday due to extreme heat plus lack of willpower. They put a second one that said, might be closed on Sunday too, IDK. Working in the summer just isn't our vibe, journey, bag, baby. Shop on Insta and we'll answer DMs from there. How do you feel about that?
What's the name of the store again?
I think it's called Copper and Plaid from what the sign I can read says.
So I'm guessing it's like a clothing store.
I'm thinking so.
With the plaid part of it. And they just went with the copper. It just went well with the name and the title in the store. How hot was it?
They just
I'm not mad. Shopping just isn't, I mean, what's the, is not our bag.
It says it's not our vibe, our journey, our bag,
baby. Little Austin Powers in there as they run that through. I like it. Hey, you can still get our stuff.
Just buy it online.
It's got to go online. It's too hot.
Listen, you don't want to be in the store. We don't want to be in the store.
I don't want to be miserable with some poor customer service to you because I'm hot. It's not your fault. It's not my fault.
I'm trying to get out of here.
But I'm trying to get out of here. It's too hot.
And you think...
I respect it.
Think too, right? It's always said that it's hotter in the city than it is in the suburbs or the extended towns. New York City, I've never been there. Like, I've never been inside a ton of stores during the summer. I usually go in, like, the fall and winter months if I go up there. I can't imagine it's remotely enjoyable.
I can't either. I cannot.
I gotta be honest, I don't quite blame them.
That's pretty good.
That's what we got for our leftovers for Thursday afternoon.
That is pretty good, man. That is really good. I respect that. I like it.
I can't say I quite blame them. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to work in retail either.
No, I'm not mad at all. I'm not mad at all. I respect it, man. I do. I'm getting out of here. It's too hot. Let's close the store. We'll get back at you guys later.
Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe
we'll
tomorrow.
We'll see. I don't know.
Sunday is going to be hot as well. Maybe tomorrow. I'm out. I like it. We're almost out. Todd, great stuff as
always.
Yeah,
but it's not 100 degrees in here.
It's not 100 degrees in here. And it is in here because I turn the heat all the way up. See my long sleeves on, always making it happen. Tyler Zuli, great job, man. As always, we'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Haley Taylor, we thank her for all the great work that she had. Booney back at NBC Sports Philadelphia. Coming up next on the radio side, we have Dee Lynam. She will carry you through the evening from 6 to 10, talking some birds, getting ready for the Phillies as well, and so many other things that Dee has been doing a great job in the 6 to 10 slot. So that'll be the case there. And on the television side, we got Birds Huddle. We got B. Brooks in the house. B. Brooks, little Birds Huddle. Hopefully, see B. Brooks in there and talking a lot of birds with day 2 of camp. But just a walkthrough. Nothing to see here. We're all good. We'll get back at it tomorrow with our 58-minute practice. How you like that? 58 minutes. It's all good. You making too much of the 58-minute practice?
Absolutely.
I know how you are.
I do not care.
Because you don't care about the preseason.
I don't want to see anybody
games.
Play in the preseason.
Did you hear that? Sean McVay said no ever.
Good.
Matt Stafford in
good.
The preseason.
It should be that way.
I thought you would like that. So, Birds Huddle coming up. Make sure you check that out on NBC Sports Philadelphia as well. We thank everybody for listening, watching, tweeting, having fun with us today. We'll be back tomorrow, our final day on the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow, too, right here on The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.